ശ്രീരാമകൃഷ്ണപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയശരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദ കീ ജയോന്നതലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദ കീ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദകി നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ടാക്കൂർ കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനകി വൃന്ദാവൻധാമകി മായപൂർധാമകി മധുരപുരിധാമകി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാമകി ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമകി ഗംഗമായിക്കി യമുനമായിക്കി തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനാത്തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷു വിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിംവാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവസംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി പാർഭുഗാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹാവ പുത്രൈതിതന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലം ശ്രുതിസാരമേകമധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തെ കളവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃതാനിന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്നാ തനികാവി കാവികാവി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതരേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹദ് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സ്വതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം അയം ബ്രഹ്മ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈ വേദൈർ സാംഗവദൈർ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
First 9 verses in this 28th chapter, Krishna spoke about the nature of the truth. That means, what exactly truth means. It's a fantastic explanation to the truth in these 9 verses. It is at this point, Uddhava says to Krishna, if this is the nature of the truth, what is our situation, relationship with the truth? That means, from an absolute platform, there is a change now. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, first Krishna spoke the truth. Truth is like this, Uddhava. But then, because we are, especially the Jiva, who is in the confused state, not able to realize the absolute truth, unable to identify totally with the material nature, in a sort of a limbo situation in between the middle, Uddhava says to Krishna, what is that relationship with us? What does happen? Who are we then? This question comes up. If this is the nature of the truth, this first nine verses, if this is the nature of the truth, then what is our position? Who are we then? So that is when Krishna had to give a very long explanation after that about jiva, what jiva means. And that is why from now on you will see the whole discussion is about jiva. Jiva means, Krishna is explaining to Uddhava, jiva is nothing different than the ahankara. The false ego inside is jiva. And that confirmation, Krishna is going to talk about it in the next many, many, many verses. So, I'll just read through those nine verses and then we'll go into that. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Parasvabhava Karmani Na Prashamsena Grahayet Vishwamegalpagam Vashyan Prakritya Purushenacha Parasvabhava Karmani Ya Prashamsati Nindati Sa Ashubhrashade Swarthal Asatyam Abhinivesada Taichase Nidraya Vanne Pindastho Nashta Jedana Mayam Prapnodi Murtyamva Tadvodhana Artha Drakpumani Kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya avastana kiyalva ajoditam dadamrdam manasadhyadam evacha chaya pratyakhvaya bhasam asandopyarthakarinam evam dehadeyo bhava yachandya amrtido bhayam alpa ivadadidam vishwam srajyade srajyade prabhu trayade trwadi vishwalpa hriyade haradishwara tasman mahyatmano nyasma anyo bhavo nirubida nirubideyam truvida narmula bhadiralpani idam gunamayam vidhi truvidham mayayakudam Yedad vidvan maduditam, maduditam, jnana vijnana ivanam, manindandi najasaudi, logesari suryaval, pratakshenanumanina, nagamenatma samvida, adyandava sasajnato, nagasango vijarediha. So, those nine verses Krishna has spoken and said to Uddhava that this truth what I have spoken in these eight verses first, one has to realize by pratyaksham, direct perception, anumanam, inference, or Nigamam, or through the authority of the Vedas. Nigamam in Alpa Samhita. And Adhyandavan Asajnyatva Nisangu Vicharediha. And he also has to realize that from beginning to end, it is Asat. What we are dealing with. We are dealing with Asat. Body, the mind, intelligence, ego, senses, material world. Everything is Asat. Adhyandavan Asajnyatva, knowing that this is all Asat, Nisangu Vicharediha. One should go through this world completely detached from everything, from the asat. So that is what we were talking about it, that Krishna's advice is to Uddhava, don't get sticking to anything here, don't get stuck with anything. If you stick to anything, you will be in trouble. Therefore he says, nisango vijarediha, nisangam, no sangam anywhere, nisango vijarediha. That then Krishna says, if you have still doubts about that, keep looking at the world, he says. You will see something interesting there. What is that? When you keep on observing the world, you can see very clearly that nothing is permanent here. Nothing is permanent here. Nobody is permanent. Our own body is not permanent. And none of the material world is permanent. And it is all coming and going, coming and going. Pratyakshena, Pratyaksha darshanam pratyakshana and anumanam. Pratyakshana anityana, pratyakshana anumanena. By direct observation and by inference, you can know that nothing is permanent here. So, few things you can understand by your own estimation, that you are observing things and you are seeing from your own experience that nobody is permanent here. People are coming, going. We will also come and go. So that temporary nature of the material world, that is therefore Krishna says, Nisango Vijarediha. Don't get attached anywhere. So, so then finally he says, Nagamenam. Vedam is telling also that permanent thing in all these things is only the soul, Atma. Atma alone. And experience that Atma through anubhuti, not by pratyaksham, anumanam, nigamam, but through anubhuti experience the soul, Atma Samvida, he says there. So, because by knowledge of the self, you will know once that permanent thing is only the soul and nothing else. And everything else is, Krishna is saying there, adhyandavat. It has got a beginning, it has got an end. Soul has no beginning, soul has no end. So, body is concerned, it has a beginning, it has an end. And mind is concerned, it's a beginning, it has an end. And you can see there so many thoughts are coming into the mind and it goes away eventually. After some time, mind also gets disappears. Mind disappears. Like you can see in the vacant state and the dream state, which was active, when you go into the deep sleep, it disappears. Mind disappears. So, that is what he is saying there. Asat jnatva. Know that it is asat, he says. And if you know this asat nature of all the world, of the body, the mind and everything, then the strong attachment to the body mind will loosen up. One has to loosen up this connection with the body and the mind, and that will loosen on its own if you know this asat jnatva. That's what Krishna is saying. Adhyandavad asat jnatva nisango vijaridiha. With that nisangam will happen, and then Krishna says vijaridiha. Vijarid means that you go through this world freely. Go through this world freely. That is Krishna's compassion to Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava, that with the great compassion, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, that Uddhava, be free from everything and go through this world. Don't get sticking to many, many things here and suffer from that. If you get stick to anything, that non-sticking nature, one has to pass through this world. Never get stuck to anything. See, whatever you are seeing here, you should see that as the manifestation of the soul. Atma Swarupam. So, after seeing it in that way, na nindadi na staudi loke charati suryavat. Just like the sun comes and goes every day and does not care for anything what goes on here. It appears and disappears in the day. In the same way, a realized soul also will live in this world in that way. Na nindadi na staudi loke charati suryavat. Just like the sun, he'll come, pass through this world and go. And don't get attached anywhere. Sun doesn't get attached anywhere. And sun is equal to everybody. These two things. One, it doesn't get attached anywhere. And secondly, it's equal to everybody. Na nindadi na staudi loke charati suryavat. Like the sun, he says. So, without ninda, without stuti, that means without praising anybody or without offending anybody. Without praising anybody or without offending anybody. Na nindadi na staudi. That completely be free and happily pass through this world. Krishna says to Uddhava. Actually, the way Krishna has spoken that verses itself, as soon as you hear that, immediately you will feel like to be like that. In that way, Krishna has spoken there. That freedom from all connections with this world, isn't it? Even if that does not happen, at least when you hear these words of Krishna, immediately the desire must develop in the heart to get that freedom, what Krishna has spoken there. So, and for that purpose, constantly inquiring about the truth and able to go back to the realizing the truth, that desire must come. And alone engaged in the contemplation of the truth, and when you start seeing that everything in relationship with the truth, ultimately, by seeing everything in relationship with the self, in relationship with the self, everything has come from the self, everything has come from the self, from Alpa, when that knowledge comes properly inside, that this world does not exist anymore. After seeing the whole world as nothing but a manifestation of the self inside. So, aloka yogavat ad. That means, you are wiping out the world in your experience. You are wiping out the world and filling it with the soul. Filling it with the soul. Alokam pratyapadyata. So,
And that means that remain in this world without para, without para, or practically to see everything as a manifestation of Brahman or the soul, and with that deliberately established in the truth, happily pass through this world, happily pass through this world. At that time, when this happened, Uddhava asked a question. He says to Krishna, Uddhava says to Krishna, Krishna, I have a doubt. I have a doubt, Uddhava says. Krishna says, what's your doubt, Uddhava? Uddhava says, that we keep talking about this material existence in this world, material existence. Who has got this material existence? You have spoken about the truth before, that Parasabhava Karmani onwards, right up to this Nisango Vijarediha, is a description of the truth. Krishna says that this is the truth, Uddhava. Then Uddhava is asking, if it is like that, who has the material existence? Who has the material existence? This is Uddhava's question. So, in order that to ask this question itself, a person must have some kind of realization inside. Otherwise, it's not possible to ask this such a question. That means some tatva-jnanam or tatva-nishayam or knowledge of the truth must be there. Otherwise, such a question won't come up from Uddhava. So, Uddhava has some understanding, because after hearing all this, that was the first question Uddhava asked Krishna. Who has the material existence? Who is suffering in this material world then? If this is the only truth, all these nine verses is the only truth, where Krishna has spoken about that there is nothing here. If you look at those verses, that it is all dvaidam, none of them are, everything is a lie, everything is false, vajodidam, tad anurdam, manasadhyadam evaja. Mind is a false thing, body is a false thing, world is false. Krishna has explained everything that in those nine verses. And if it is like that, and Krishna says also that there is only Atma here. There is only Atma here. Atma eva tajidam vishwam. Srijade srijade prabhu. Trayade tradi vishwalma. Priyade haradishwara. There is nothing else here. If it is like that, who is experiencing this material misery? Who is having it? That was Uddhava's question. So Uddhava is asking there, you can see Uddhava uvacha naiva atmano na dehasya samsrutir drashtudrishayoho anatma sudrusho risha kasyasyal upalabhyate atma avyayo agnam shuddha svayam jyotiranavruta agnivadda aruvadda chir deha kasyeha samsruti. That is the two verses 10 and 11. Uddhava is saying to Krishna that naiva atmano na dehasya samsrutir drashtudrishayoho. Uddhava is saying, Ishaha drashtu drishayoho. Anatma sudrishayoho. There are two things here, Uddhava says. Me, the seer, who is seeing everything, and the vastu, the objects, what I am seeing. These two things exist here, isn't it? Which we call it as drashta or drika or drishyam, or drashtava or drishyam. Which is the same thing, in other words, you say, Atma and Anatma. Self and the non-self, you can say like that. Atma and the non-self. Self and the non-self. So, Drik Drishyam. So, Drikka Drishyam, Atma and Anatma, it is one and the same thing. There are two things existing here. And when we make that statement, Atma and Atma, or Drashtava Drishyam, Uddhava says, in that, Atma doesn't have any material existence, you have already told me. Atma doesn't have any material existence. Because Atma, by very nature, it is permanently free, permanently liberated. It's in a liberated state all the time. And fully independent. Fully independent. Permanently liberated and fully independent. Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Swarupam. Nitya means eternal, Shuddha means it's pure, Mukta means it's always liberated, and Mukta means always liberated, and Buddha means always fully conscious, is always conscious of itself. If that is the nature of the Atma, then the non-self, Anatma, it is dead matter, is it not? Which means the gross body, the mind, intelligence, senses, and all the world, which is all not the self, Anatma, which is dead matter, which is dead matter. And body is something what you can see, drishyam, drishyapadartham. Atma is drikka. Atma is the seer, and body is what is seen. And body is an atma, and atma by its very nature is conscious, fully conscious. You know about the atma because awareness is inside. By presence of the awareness, you are always conscious of the presence of Atma. That is how you know the Atma is inside. Because you feel that awareness all the time, which is coming from the Atma. So if it is like that, who has got this material existence? That is Uddhava's question. You see? On the one side you said that the nature of the soul, Krishna explained in that 9 verses, that it is Atma. Taditam Vishvam Srijate. And the nature of Atma, that it has eternal blissful knowledge, and it is fully conscious, always liberated, and it's always pure. All these things spoke about the soul. In the same way, you will see Prahlada also saying in the Bhagavatam about the soul. About the soul, that's the same way Prahlada has spoken. And so all the great souls, the liberated souls, they will talk about the soul in the same way. Soul's nature is like that. So if the soul is like that, and the remaining thing, like this body, the world, this is all dead matter. This is dead matter. So who is experiencing this misery here? We all are complaining about it, is it not? So in answer to that, so he is saying here that kasyasyal ubalabhyate, you can see there, naiva atmano na dehasya samsradir drashtu drishayoho anatma sudrush anatma sudrusho risha kasyasyal ubalabhyate, kasyasyal ubalabhyate, who is having experiencing this material existence? So you will see this in the different Vedanti texts also. They are saying, who has got material existence? They ask this question. The answer to that, for you, because you are asking that question. Therefore you have that material existence. The person who is asking the question, he has the material existence. Because you are asking, where is it coming from? That's what it is, yeah. That source where that question is coming from, that is the source where the material existence is. Yatha prichadi tasyaiva drashtuhu. So the person who is asking, and he has the material existence. Who is asking? I am asking. So who am I then? That question. So, and when you inquire about yourself in depth, you don't find any material existence there. Material existence there. That is the interesting thing. I can't find me where I am. About myself, when I inquire, I can't find where I am. Isn't it? And at that time, I find, realize that there is no material existence as such. So, moment I think about me, I am, awareness, or think about the ahankaram, false ego, which is I am identifying with. When that happens, immediately material existence also comes. Therefore, what does material existence mean? Material existence means me. It's me. So, ahankaram is called material existence. Ahankaram is called material existence. So, who is asking this question, who has got material existence? It's coming from ahankaram. It's coming from the ahankaram. So, one who is drashtava, who is seeing this,
He has got the material existence. Because I am asking that question, I have got material existence. That means I am questioning this, is it not? That is how you have to understand that. Because, because I am doubting, where did this I come from? Who is doubting everything? Who is asking this question about material existence? Like we say, I am suffering, I am enjoying, and I am miserable, I am happy, and I am frightened, I am angry, and I am in illusion, Maya, and I feel so many kinds of emotions coming. And who is this I? That is the question. So Krishna is saying here that when you inquire about who is having all these things, you can't find that person anywhere. And as soon as I take my identity with that I inside me, I come up, and as soon as I come up, material existence also comes up along with that. Material existence also comes along with that. So long as there is a hangaram inside, material existence has to be there. Material miseries will be experienced. That is the important point. So Uddhava is asking at that time that that Alma is, Uddhava saying here, Alma is avyayam, agunam, shuddham, soyam, jyoti, anavratam, agnival, darival, ajit, deham, kaseha, samsruti. He says, Alma, you have told us that nature of the Alma is, it is avyayam. That means it is eternal, always existing. And in consciousness, you can't take half, quarter. You can break it. You cannot break the consciousness. That's why it's called avyayam. Even it's not like, say, if you had $100, if you spend $50, you're only left with $50. Is it not? But in Alma, it is not like that. Alma, even if you are conscious, you're conscious means you're conscious all the time. All the time you're conscious. There is not, you can't take part of it away and half conscious. You couldn't say that. You are fully conscious, consciousness is full all the time. So therefore he's saying here that Atma's nature is avyayam. You cannot reduce it any time. Agunaha. Agunaha means sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is not there in the Atma. It doesn't exist in the Alma because it's always pure, shuddha. The same qualities of the soul which Prahlada has spoken before, the same thing is spoken again in another way, shuddha. Then, that shuddha means that you can't create any black mark on the soul. Soul is so pure that no matter what you do, the soul maintains its purity all the time. It maintains its purity all the time. You cannot make it contaminated with anything. Just like we say that when a death happens, you are observing 10 days, 15 days, you say you are impure. When you get, when the mother has a baby, for 10, 15 days, you say you are impure. Atma is not impure. Who is impure then? You see, that's what you have to understand. That impurities and all, when we talk about that, it has nothing to do with the soul. When we say impure conditions, isn't it? Death happens. We say 10, 15 days mourning time, and then we follow certain rules that you... And similarly, all kinds of situations, we have shuddhi, ashuddhi, isn't it? Pure, impure. Women have their bad time periods and that time is considered to be impure. Like this. So who is that? Alma has got. Alma doesn't have anything to do with it. That's what the important point. Agunam. So that's what he says here. That Swayam Jyoti Anavruta. That it always says here, Shuddha. Always Alma is pure. Alma is Shuddham. It cannot be contaminated. No contamination for the Alma. Contamination is all for the body. Contamination of the body. So, and what else? Swayam Jyoti. Swayam Jyoti means that you don't require another light to see the Alma. On its own, it will make you aware of its presence. It doesn't require any external light or external source to make its presence aware of. Just like the sun. Sun, you will notice it as soon as the sunlight will be there. The presence of the sun doesn't, you don't have to bring a torch and see if the sun is there in the sky. Sun will make it itself aware of its presence to us. In the same way. Anavrataha. Anavrata means that you can't completely cover Atma with anything. That means it is not, it never is covered by anything. It is always pure and it exists in that way. That means it's always presence in everybody, fully making us conscious of its existence. We are all aware of our own existence all the time. That is anavrata. And now, even suppose if I want to take away my awareness, it's not possible. Because awareness is me. How can I take it away? That awareness is me. So, anavratam. Anavratam. That means, all other things, there is avaranam. Avaranam means these two potencies. Covering potency, which is avaranam. Vikshepam avaranam. That is there in the mind. Atma doesn't have avaranam. Mind has got avaranam. Avaranam means the covering potency. So, and what else he says there? Agnivad, Daryuvad, Achidehaha. So, Agnivad, Daryuvad, Achideham. Body, now, Atma, Avyayam, Agunam, Shuddham, Swayam, Jyoti, Anamrutam. Atma is like that. And the body, Uddhava is saying, Agnivad, Daryuvad, Achideham. Body is in a different way. Body is like that. Body is like a log of wood. It's like a log of wood. Log of wood. And whereas difference between soul and the body. Body is achit. Body is achit. Atma is chit. Atma is chit. And Atma is also like fire. Like the Agni. Like fire. It is inside. So, Uddhava is asking, Kasyeha Samsruti? Who is having material existence? Uddhava is saying two things. One, Atma inside. And then, the body inside, body outside. So, he is saying that Atma's nature you have spoken, which is avyayam, agunam, shuddham, swayam, jyoti, anavadam. Agni, agnivad. And body is like a log of wood, like a log of wood. So, and between these two, who is experiencing the material existence? Who is having all the material existence? Like we say, there are three types of material miseries, isn't it? Adhyatmikam, Adibhaudikam, Adidevikam. Everybody who has done Bhakti Shastra will know that. But, so, all the Bhakti Shastras are supposed to know all this. So, these three material miseries, whether you go to Bhakti Shastri or not, in daily life you have it. Is it not? One way or the other, the three miseries are there. Only thing is, in Shastram they have put it in a systematic way to tell us, misery is misery. Whether it comes Adhyalpikam, Adhibaudhikam, Adhidevikam, it doesn't matter. Misery is misery at the end. So, what Krishna is saying here that, then, the body is there, body is lying there, and once it's dead, the body, once it dies, then body is lying there. Body is just lying there, isn't it? And then there is no material existence for the body. And it also does not have sannyasam state. That also doesn't exist. The vastu inside that body, who was there before died, before its death, that is nityam, shuddham, purna vastu. Purna vastu means is total, completely pure, and it is perfect in all senses. That vastu inside doesn't have any material existence. It doesn't have any miseries. Three modes of material nature, or three kinds of material miseries, or three kinds of states of existence, jagrat, sapnam, sushupti, none of them exist in that vastu inside. He's free from all that thing. And when you look at that dead body lying there, you don't see that dead body suffering. It's just lying there like a piece of wood or piece of metal or whatever it is. So it doesn't have any experience of the material miseries. And that vastu, in sushupti, in deep sleep state, you don't find these material miseries. Is it not? When you go into the deep sleep state, there is no material miseries also there. So, that vastu is advaitam. That means, it has no material miseries, there is no second vastu there, there's only one vastu, which is in the deep sleep state, which does not have any of these material miseries, modes of material nature, none of those things exist there. So, but only in the vacant state and in the dream state alone comes up this I, ahangaram comes up. Ahangaram comes up. And when that ahangaram comes, only in the vacant state and in the dream state, when that ahangaram pops up, along with that, material existence also pops up. This is the important point. Only in the vacant state and in the dream state, when the ahangaram or the I am doing this, I am kartrutvam bhoktrutvam, enjoyer, doership. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And similarly, when you start feeling that ragam, desham, all these things are happening in the vacant state, in the dream state. In the deep sleep, they don't exist. In the deep sleep, you are not thinking as an individual separately. So that individuality that pops up in the vacant state and in the dream state, he is the one who has material existence, who experiences the material existence. That is Krishna's answer to that. Because Uddhava asked the question, who has the material existence? The one who pops up in the vacant state and in the dream state as I am, doing all kinds of things and busy with the world, that person has got material existence. And he is the one who is suffering in the material world. And who is the one? He is the one who is in bondage. He is the one in bondage. So, if it is like that, that person who pops up in the vacant state, in the dream state, and what is his identity? What is his identity? So, and when you inquire about him, you can't find him. You don't find him. That's a problem. He plays this game with us. He pops up, the vacant state and the dream state, put you through a lot of miseries and then disappears. Is it not? Who does all the vyavaharam in this world? That person who pops up. He does the vyavaharam in this world. Atma doesn't do any vyavaharam. That is why, and when you inquire about him, who is this person coming and creating this trouble? Bhikshu Gita, if you look at that, Bhikshus mentioned this. If you look at the, in Bhikshu Gita, that was in the 23, chapter 23, 57th verse, he mentioned that. Na kena chil kvapi kadanjanasya dvandvo paraga parada parasyam yatha aham samsruti rupinasya aldevam prabuddho na bibedi bhudaihi. Yadahama samsruti rupinasyal deham devam prabuddhona bibedi bhudhai. Yadahamam samsruti rupinasyal means that ahamaham, that ahangaram, ahamaham, that ahangaram inside, in the form of samsruti, means material existence. Samsruti rupinasyal. Samsruti rupinasyal says in the Bhikshu Gita about that ahangaram, about that false ego inside. Samsruti rupinasyal means that that this ahangaram, that is his real word, name for that person who pops up in the vacant state, in the dream state, he is the one who is experiencing material existence. Ahangaram is the samsari. Samsari means one who is experiencing material existence. So when you inquire about that person, who is experiencing the material existence, you can't find him. You can't find him. So that is how it is. That is how it is. So from now on, Krishna will only talk about this ahankaram. That's the whole topic now, from now on, discussing about it. That's the way Krishna does. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the same, in the second chapter also. First he will talk about the truth. Truth is like this. And then, but we are suffering in this world. We are all feeling the miseries of this world. So as an explanation for the miseries, Krishna is saying, first ask the question, who is experiencing this misery? He is not even genuine. He is only a temple. Only the vacant state and the dream state is present there. And he is the one who is experiencing all the miseries. Many people give different explanations to that. For example, just like the onion, if you keep peeling off, all you are peeling off different parts of the onions. And similarly, this body, this mind, this intelligence, it's all like you can peel it off. But when you look inside, you can't find this ahankaram inside. And when you look inside, you will find that there is no such thing called ahankaram. There is no such thing called ahankaram. That is what Krishna told before also. Nirmulam bhadi almani. Remember in the 7th verse, there's only soul there. There's no ahankaram there. Nirmulam bhadi almani. And that means nirmulam bhadi almani. It does not have any root. Doesn't have, ahankaram has no root at all. And it doesn't have any source, and you can, only thing is, vacant state and the dream state, you can experience, you see that there is misery there. That is all you can say about that. Just like they give the example that in the night, when you are walking through the street, there is a post, and when in the dark you couldn't, it is painted white. So you thought, it's a ghost. So it is like that. Post and the ghost. Like Rajasarpam, rope and the snake, the same way. So, and when you saw the post, you got frightened, thinking that there is a ghost there, standing there, isn't it? But when you brought the torch and looked at the post, there is no ghost there. There's only a post there. Isn't it? Similarly, same way, in the same way, inside I'm always thinking about me, I'm fighting, dealing with all kinds of situations in this world, and sometimes I feel very miserable, I'm suffering, and I tell others also I'm in great distress, what shall I do? And I feel the miseries of this material world, I complain about that to everybody. So, then I am asking the question, who is this complaining? Then you don't know who it is. You don't know who it is complaining. Because Shastram is saying, Atma has nothing to do with any of these things. But then who is it? That's the question, isn't it? So, then, and this inquiry in this way is the most direct inquiry of the soul. Inquiring about the soul in this way. All other processes, karma, bhakti and all, is little bit in a, not a direct route. Whereas in Jnanamargam, it's a direct inquiry, confirming to us that Atma is totally independent, untouched by the modes of nature, three states of material existence, is always pure. Body is like a log of wood, it doesn't experience anything. It is dead matter. But when the Atma is present inside and the body is there, somebody inside is experiencing the miseries of this world. Three miseries, states of material existence. So, So the direct process is this. Accepting this, that you can take to any other process in this world, any other process in this world. There is no other direct process like this Jnana Margam. It is so direct, the whole thing is, isn't it? That means one who has got the capacity to do that, who can separate the world and the asat from the sat, and fully become conscious that asat does not experience anything, sat does not experience anything, it's the ahangaram that pops up, is experiencing everything, and that is called the inquiry of the self, inquiry of the self. So, a process like this is so direct that there is no other way of explaining this. It's a direct explanation to the truth, like the way Krishna has done here. Krishna spoke about the truth first, and then Krishna spoke about the body and the world called asat. Krishna said that you have to ask this question, Uddhava asked the question, who is experiencing the miseries of the material life, of the material existence, samsara. We sing the song, samsara dhavana nalita loka. Who has got samsaram? That question came up. Krishna says, samsaram is for that one who pops up in the middle. In the middle. So, this is a direct process. This is direct process. And there is no other process as direct as this, because it's telling you the truth straight away, isn't it? All other processes are indirect, that you are trying to inquire about the self by various other processes. Ashtanga yogam, karma yogam, bhakti yogam are all little bit indirect it is. It's not a direct process. And therefore, even if you follow any other processes, at the end you will come back to the same place. You will come back to the same place. Because the reason is that whenever you are following any other yoga process, whether it is Ashtanga Yogam or Bhakti Yogam or Karma Yogam, any yoga other process except Jnana Yogam, all other yoga processes, when you are practicing it, that other yoga process, what you are doing is, you are acknowledging the presence of this ahangaram inside. Ahangaram is, even when you are doing, performing sadhana, you have to ask the question, who is performing sadhana? Ahangaram is doing the sadhana. Is it not? Ahangaram is doing the sadhana. Like you will say, I've chanted my 16 rounds. There we go. Who has done the 16 rounds? Where is that? Ahangaram is saying this. The ego inside is saying this. I've done my 16 rounds. So, Ahangaram's nature, you will see that it doesn't go away. Just because you are chanting 16 rounds, Ahangaram has not gone. He is still there. Even if you chant for 40 years, still he will be there. He wouldn't have gone. So, you can see even in Bhakti Margam, till the ahangaram goes away, the material miseries will still be there. Therefore we say, ahangaram is doing the sadhana. Ahangaram is performing the yoga, Ashtanga Yogam. When he is doing that, whether pranayamam or any other kind of yoga processes, Ashtanga Yogam, who is doing it? Ahangaram is doing it. And ahangaram is the one who is experiencing the material miseries also. Is it not? And ahangaram is the one who is materialist, who says, I am a materialist or anything, is ahangari. And ahangaram is the one who is taking sannyasam also. You see, when I have taken sannyas today, who is taking sannyasam? Alpa doesn't take sannyasam. Your ahankaram is taking sannyasam. Is it not? So everything ahankaram is doing. And I'm an initiated devotee now. Who is me? Ahankaram is the initiated devotee. Alma, you can't tie it with anything. Alma is so independent, you can tie it down to any. You cannot tie that down to anything. So, sannyasi, devotee, and someone who says, I am liberated. Who is saying this? Ahankaram is saying this. So, liberated soul is also ahankaram. Who is saying this? I am liberated. Devotee is ahankaram. And sannyasi is also ahankaram. If somebody says, I am a guru, who is the guru? Ahankaram is the guru. Is it not? So you see that difficulty with ahankaram. Ahankaram is the one which is owning everything, taking the ownership in everything. Is ahankaram, taking the ownership. Alma doesn't take ownership anywhere. So there is not much difference who says like that. Then ahankaram is declaring everything. All identities, it is ahankaram who is going and taking the identity. Atma doesn't take any identity anywhere. That's the important point. And when you inquire about this liberated soul or devotee or sannyasi or guru or whatever it may be, you can't find him where he is. He's not there. He's not there, isn't it? So, that is why you will see this in the mentions that Rubedbhavo Rubavadi Pratishtam Rubashani Duda Grihida Rubam Swayam Virubam So Vijara Kale Dhavat Ahankara Pishajam Yasha. It is Ramana Maharshi's one famous quotations on the Sadarshanam. He says one verse about it. He says Rubedbhavo Rubavadi Pratishtam Rubashani Duda Grihida Rubam Swayam Virubam So Vijara Kale Dhavat Ahankara Pishajam Eva. Ahankaram is a pishache, is a ghost. Ahankaram pishachameva. Then this ahankaram can exist only in a form, only when there is a form. And it is born in a form and it identifies with the rubet bhavam rubadadi pradishtam. That only when you have a form you can identify with that, with this ahankaram. And Rubashanu Dhuta Grihida Rupam. That it's living on the forms and what else? It's always changing its form. It's always changing its form. But Ahankaram itself is formless. It doesn't have a form. And it is, when you question that, it disappears. When you question that. And that is how this ghost is called Ahankaram. That's how the ghost ahankaram is. That's why it says there. Then, because this ahankaram is neither dead thing, it's not dead matter. At the same way, it is not chaitanyam like atma, like the soul, it is not pure consciousness. But, therefore, you remember that story about that. There was a marriage happening. I mentioned the story before. A marriage was going on. Big marriage. In the sense that lots of people have come from the bridegroom side. Lot of people from the bride side also has come. And one person sensed that this is a good time to have a good feast. So he got inside. And he was doing lots of things there in the party or marriage party, whatever that was going on there. So the bride's people thought he must be belong to the bridegroom's party, somebody who had been invited. Because nobody, you don't know everybody who has been invited by the bridegroom. He has invited all his people. And so they didn't question anything. Bridegroom's people thought, who is this person who is so active in everything? He's taking full advantage of the party, marriage. So they thought, maybe he has come from the bride's side. Neither the bride's people knew about him, nor the bridegroom's people knew about him. Ultimately, somebody started thinking, we should find out who this person is. And as soon as he sensed that they are inquiring about me, he disappeared. Because he has not been invited. He had come on his own. Ahangaram is like that. Ahangaram is like that. So, that Ramamashi used to quote this as an example for this. Easy to understand how ahangaram comes in a person. When ahangaram appears like this, and that's why it says like this also, that when you inquire about him, he has disappeared. In the same way, the false ego inside is like that. It is giving trouble to the jadam, that means for the body. Ahangaram gives trouble to this body. And it also appears as though it's giving trouble to the soul. It appears like that. That's why you are saying that, oh, I'm suffering. So there is no other greater misery in this world than this ahangaram. Ahangaram is the greatest misery. So you can't include him in the group of the Atma, Chaitanyam's group. You can't include him in the group of the jadam, dead matter. There also you can't include him. Because it comes in between the Atma and the body. Chitta, Atma is the chit, body is jadam. Because it is the thing that is binding these two together, it's called chit jada grandhi. You will see this in the ninth canto, spoken about this. Chitta, jadam. Chit is the self, jadam is the dead matter, body. Chitta and jadam, it is connecting it together, keeping it together, and therefore grandhi, the gland that is binding, connecting these two things together. Chit jada grandhi, it is called. Chitta jadam grandhi. And it means the joint, it is. That's how it is, joint. Chit jada grandhi. So this chit jada grandhi is the one which is causing all the problem. And that is exactly what is in the Upanishads calls as hridaya grandhi. Vidyade hridaya grandhi, it says there, isn't it? Vidyade hridaya grandhi. Once self-realization happens, this hridaya grandhi breaks up. This gland breaks up. Vidyade hridaya grandhi, chidyande sarvasamshaya, shiyande chasya karmani, dushto evalpani ishvare, Upanishads. So, this breakup of this chidjada grandhi is called self-realization. Breaking up this chidjada grandhi is called self-realization. So, if you ask the nature of this ahangaram, it is neither consciousness nor matter. It is neither pure consciousness like the Atma, nor matter like the body. Nor matter like the body. But it comes in between the two. In between the two. And that is what is called the mind. Mind. And this is one vastu that comes in between. It is called mind. It is called ahangaram, it is called jiva, it is called subtle body. Whatever name you are calling, you can call whatever that is. There are different names in the shastram for that. But so, material is the same, one vastu. But in shastram, it is addressed in different ways. Sometimes it is called sushma shariram, sometimes it is called jiva, sometimes it is called ahangaram, sometimes it is called mind. No matter whichever you address that, it is this chidjada grandhi. That's another name for that. Chidjada grandhi. It is this chidjada grandhi that is causing the whole problem. It is neither pure consciousness like Atma, nor dead matter like the body. Dead matter like the body. So, and he is present inside, and he has established connection with both sides. With the body, it has got connection because it identifies with the body, is it not? It appears as though it has made a connection with the soul also, even though in reality it has no connection, but it is able to present itself as though it has a connection with the self to us. That's why, but because if you inquire about him, he's not there. There is no sign of him. Where is he? So that is why Krishna mentions this before. That evam dehadayo bhava echandya mrityudo bhayam. In the fifth verse, he said, chaya pratyuhaya bhasa asando pyarthakarinam evam dehadayo bhava echandya mrityudo bhayam. That is the one who is creating the fear. Who? This ahangaram is the one who is creating the fear. So even though he doesn't exist, but it is frightening you. You are experiencing the fear inside, isn't it? It's giving you all sorts of trouble and make your life very difficult, makes you feel miserable. And we call it as ahangaram of by different names. But is he real? He's not real. It's not real. From the spiritual point of view, he is not real. He's not real. Because it's coming and going. That's why. Because in the deep sleep state, it's not there. Only in the wakened state and the dream state, he is there. In the deep sleep, he is not there. That shows that he is not real. So comes and goes, isn't it? So if you inquire about him, you can't find him. You can't find him. But when you are not conscious of all these things, what Krishna has spoken, he is there. Isn't it? When you are not conscious of it, he is there. When you are not conscious of that, ahangaram is there all the time. Ahangaram is there. And when ahangaram is there, you will feel all the miseries of this world. All the miseries of this world, and all the problems of this world, and all your attachment in this world. It's only when he's there. You are getting attached to something. You feel it's mine. I have to protect myself from this. I have to protect somebody. I have to look after somebody. All these kind of things. And including liberation, it's him who is saying, I'm now free. I'm now free. It's he who makes that declaration also. So all the vyavaharam in this world is under his control. All the vyavaharam in this world is under his control. And he has established his authority everywhere. He has got involved in everything and established his authority everywhere. That's why we call him Ego-ji. Ego-ji he is. Like we say, isn't it? Mahatma-ji, Gandhi-ji, like that. Ego-ji he is. He says, gee, this ego. Ego, gee. And if you inquire about him, you can't find him. That's the problem. And Uddhava is asking Krishna about this ego, gee. That's what Uddhava is asking in that question. Naivalmano na dehasya samsardar drashtu drishayoho anatma sudrishorisha kasyasyal upalabhyade alma avyayoma gunashuddha Swayam Jyotiranam Prada Agnivaddaru Vadajit Deha Kaseha Samsruti. This was Uddhava's question. So it's about this ahangaram or ego that Uddhava is inquiring. Uddhava is asking to Krishna that who is experiencing this distress of this material existence? That and when you inquire about him, you say he is not there. So in that case, is there really a thing called material existence? That is why we have to look back into Krishna's previous verses, where Krishna said, Krishna says, in reality, there is no thing called material existence. That is the truth. It is not real. Remember, it is not real. But we are suffering. That's all we know. We suffer here, isn't it? That nobody can take it away. But at the same time, Krishna is saying it's not real. It's not real. So, then, if it's not real, why am I doing sadhana? That question will come. Isn't it? I'm chanting, getting up early in the morning, chanting the holy name for 2-3 hours, doing deity worship, all sorts of things we are doing. What for what? If he is not real, why are we doing that? But the fact is that you are experiencing it. Therefore you have to do it. So, so that is why Shastram doesn't like it. Doesn't like that. But Shastram has to agree with this because you are feeling it. You are suffering it. Suffering in this world because of this ego gene. Therefore, you have to, Shastram has to say, do sadhana for that. Do sadhana for that. So that is why the tattvam what Krishna has so spoken is absolute. On the absolute platform. Absolute reality it's called. The first verses, 9 verses. Now Krishna is talking about what is known as Pradibhasika Satyam. Pradibhasika Satyam means apparent reality. It's not real, but it is apparently there. Apparent reality it is called. And even though you don't like it, you don't like it, but still you have to do this sadhana. And it is this apparent reality which is doing all the vyavaharam in this world. Vyavaharam in this world. And those who have gone very high in spiritual life, realize the truth, they don't like it to talk about this Pratibhasika Satyam or apparent reality. They don't like to talk about it. Because they, as far as they are concerned, it's not a real thing. Why should they talk about it? But because we are asking the question, they have to talk about it. You will see this with many, many great personalities who have realized the truth. They don't like to talk about this apparent reality because it's not real for them. It's a false thing. And those who are coming to asking questions to them, they are not experiencing the same way as they do, as the realized souls, because they always feel that misery is a material life and they'll come with all the questions like that. So therefore they'll say that that is only a Pratibhasika Satyam. Pratibhasika Satyam. And they'll say, because you're asking the question, I'm giving you the answer. Somebody asks you a question, you have to give an answer, isn't it? For that reason. Not that, because they know very well that what they are talking is not the truth. The realized souls, they know very well what they are talking about is not truth. You are talking about something which is apparent. Pratibhasikam, it is called. Pratibhasikam. Then there is one more thing, what we normally call it as vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means that the rules and laws that we have made in this world, based on which, on an individual level, we all operate in this world. That's called vyavaharam. Different transactions in this world. And there is some satyam in this vyavaharam, what we do. It is called vyavaharika satyam. So, first thing is paramarthikam, pratibhasikam, then there is vyavaharikam. Three different kinds of truth. So, when you are looking at it from the absolute platform, only the absolute truth is correct. That is the real truth. Absolute truth is the proper truth. Pratibhasikam and vyavaharikam is not even considered to be truth. Vyavahara truth means, for example, I have promised somebody that I'll give you £10 tomorrow. But something happened to me, I'm dead today. I couldn't make it tomorrow. That means the words I've spoken has gone. It has no meaning. Isn't it? Or anything like that. You're making promises to somebody or you're saying that I'll meet up with you at some other time in the afternoon somewhere. When you're making such statements, it's all subject to so many other things. Is it not? So therefore, it is vyavaharika satyam. It is not absolute satyam. It is not absolute truth. It is vyavaharikam. So there is satyam in the platform of the Atma state, pure consciousness state, that is called paramarthikam. Then there is satyam in the platform of the ahangaram, what it does here. And in the that you have to answer a question to somebody because you have to come down from that level of the truth, proper truth, to the level of the person who is asking the question, and that is pratibhasikam. That you have to
that you have to, even though you know that it is not the truth, but you have to do it because the hangaram is inside. And then there is vaivaharigam, vaivaharam. So in these three levels, Shastram says there is truth. And finally, there is another one, fourth one, truth, which is called untruth. That's also a truth. Untruth, but it's also a truth. So therefore, paramarthigam, pratibhasigam, vyavaharigam, and asatyam. The four levels, truth is spoken. When we say to be honest with you, what does that mean? That is coming from the third one. Vyavaharigam it is. Completely vyavaharigam. To be honest with you means to say that you have to be knowing the truth yourself. But you yourself are speaking from the vyavaharam level. So that is vyavaharigam it is. So in vyavaharam, for example, in vyavaharam, we have certain rules in vyavaharam also. Rules that's been made by the society, isn't it? And vyavahara neyamam, the rules belonging to the vyavaharam. And there is dharmam, adharmam in that. You have to follow certain rules and all these things. So ahangaram comes in the pratibhasikam level, pratibhasika truth, pratibhasikam. So that when ahangaram comes in, that means when this pratibhasika level, pratibhasika truth, apparent reality, at that time you can see that inside that person there is anger, there is pride, and there is lust and envy, all kinds of emotions. So this apparent reality is always with these kind of impurities. Apparent reality is with all kinds of impurities. Absolute reality has no impurities, as Krishna says there. No impurities inside in the absolute platform. In the apparent reality, when ahangaram is doing that, that means these things are present inside. Try to understand this. It's important because Krishna is taking us to another level now, trying to make us understand. Because if you have understood this verses, what Krishna is talking about here, almost 100% of the problems in this world, you can throw it away. It's not a problem, what we call as a problem. You will see this here, that Krishna says here, that when you have pride, when you feel proud, or when you feel ego, ahangaram, and dambham, all other things, what amanitvam, ahambitvam, ahimsa, chandi, arjavam, all kinds of things Krishna has spoken. Demonic nature, if you read in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken there, isn't it? Lot of things about the divine and the demonic nature. What did Krishna say? Krishna says in the... If you look into the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about... verses from... you can see from verse 8. Asatyam pradishtande jagadahuranishwaram aparasparasambhudam kimanyer kamahedudam evam drishtuamavasthabhyam nashtalpmanolpabuddhaya prabhavandi ugrakarmana kshayaya jagato hitaha kamamashritya dushpuram dambhamanam adanvida mohal grihitvasad grahan pravartande ashujivradaham. You can see those verses. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced as sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Following such conclusions, the demoniac who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac disillusioned are always sworn to unclean work attracted by the impermanent. And they believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of their life, anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds and thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger,
they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. Then it goes on saying various things about the idam adya maya labdham, imam prapsiye manoratham, idam astidam abhime, bhavishyanti punardhanam, asau maya hata shatrur, anishe javaranapi, ishwaroham, aham bhogi, siddhoham, balavan, sukhi, adhyo vijanavan asmi, konyosti sadrasho maya, yakshe dasyami modishya, itya jnana vimohida. So, like this, all things are spoken about in the Bhagavad Gita. Who is it talking about? Ahankara. It's talking about Ahankaram it is. Not to do with the soul. So, here you can see that this person who is doing all these things, who is having this Ahankaram, who is feeling all these emotions, what's spoken there, he is called Chidabhasan. Pradibhasiyam is the word. Pradibhasiyam. And when the Chit Shakti, which is pure consciousness, when it is experiencing all these things, it's called Chidabhasam. Chidabhasam. It is a Abhasam it is. It's a Abhasam it is. And that means, in absolute terms, he doesn't exist. He has no reality of existence. But if this Chidabhasan is not there, Vyavaharam is not there. Vyavaharam is not there. And that is what it is say. Upanishad says, Egam evam adyudiyam brahmam. Egam eva adyudiyam brahmam. Only brahmam exists, nothing else exists here. But then if you ask the question, does these three things exist? Which one? Paramarthiyam, Pradibhasiyam, Vavahariyam, all these three, do they exist? No, they don't exist. What you are asking, so I am answering. That's all it is. One person who has come to realize the truth, for him, these three things don't exist. Which one? Vavahariyam and Pradibhasiyam doesn't exist for him. He has gone beyond than that. Pradibhasiyam, Vavahariyam is in the conditioned soul, for the conditioned soul. So, because you keep on asking questions, people when they come to the Mahatmas, they will come with all kinds of questions. Is it not? They will, because of the state they are in. So they have got questions to ask. When they ask the questions, you have to give them answer, otherwise they get offended. Oh, you couldn't answer me. I asked a question, you couldn't answer. So for the person who is asking the question, you have to give an answer, isn't it? So if you give him some answer, he will go. For that purpose, the answer is given. Pratibhasikam Vyavaharikam is like that. It has no meaning, actually. As Krishna says here. Pratibhasikam and Vyavaharikam has no meaning. But because you have asked the question, from that level you are asking the question, so the answer also has to be in the same level. In the same level. Just like, you know, astrologers do what they do. You go to the astrologer, time is very bad now. You say to the astrologer, he looked everything and did all these things with the things what he works with. Then he says, oh, you have a bad time now. The Saturn is on its, in a bad position. It'll take about 5 or 6 years and everything will be cleared up. So, and once you get an answer, oh, another 4 years I have to wait, isn't it? That's all. After that everything will be okay. He has to say this to you. Saturn is sitting somewhere doing his business. But he is telling you like this. Why? Because you got an answer, you are satisfied. You went to the astrologer, astrologer is telling you that it's not going to be like this forever. Another 4 or 5 years you will have a bad time. And once that time is over, you will be okay. It is like that. It's all in the Vyavaharam this is. It has nothing to do with the absolute reality. So, or otherwise he'll say to you, you go to these temples and make these offerings there and everything will be okay after that. And so then he won't give you trouble for these few years. Won't give you any trouble in that way. Isn't it? Similarly, this vyavahariyam and pratipadibhasiyam satyam, when you are dealing with that, then you are giving an answer to the person temporarily to satisfy his question. So satisfy giving an answer to him practically. Give some answer so he'll go. He won't bother you anymore. That's all it is. Because Krishna's point is, nothing exists. In fact, this Chidabhasan itself doesn't exist. Who is suffering here, he himself doesn't exist. Because it is an apparent reality. It's not reality. Reality is not suffering. Reality is Atma. He doesn't have any misery. But because you are experiencing it, therefore we have to give you an answer. You are unable to come out of that. The misery is holding you so strongly, suffering going on here, that unless an answer is given, you won't feel satisfied. That's why astrologers will always know these things, that after 5 years you'll get so used to the misery that you won't ask anymore. That's what it is. That it's only when initially you're having a great time in this world, suddenly time has changed and became a little bit problems in life, has come, in some forms it's come. That's when you're running to the astrologer. An astrologer says to you, it's only another 4 or 5 years, you're having a very bad time now. After 5 years, you will be completely free from all the problems and you will go home satisfied with the answer. Isn't it? So, but Krishna is saying here, there is no such thing called Chidabhasan. Apparent reality doesn't, because it's not real. That's the thing. Pratibhasiyam it is. And Vyavahariyam also. So, in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimal Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying there, this Chidabhasan, which we call it as Jiva, which we call it as Ahankaram, which we call it as mind, all different identities, all of these things is, Krishna says, it's my apara prakriti. It's my apara prakriti. In other words, I am manifesting as ego. My real I, ego, ahankaram and atma is one and the same vastu. Vastu is the same. But my pure consciousness is reflecting in my vasanas inside in the subtle body. It is at that time I am taking the separate identity as ahankaram. That's when ahankaram is born. When is ahankaram coming up? When the pure self, pure consciousness inside, when it is reflecting in my vasanas inside, because I've got a subtle body. In that subtle body, all my vasanas and prarabdham, everything is there. So this Atma, when he is reflecting in this vasanas, a separate identity, individuality, it takes birth. And that is called ahankaram or jiva or subtle body or sushma shariram, whichever way you want to call it. There are different names for that. Vastu is the same. It's the same vastu. So they say, so actually it is Krishna himself is manifesting as an ego. Manifesting as an ego. Like they say, from the huge fire, the spark is coming. Similarly, from this huge fire called Atma comes the spark of ego, and the spark called mind, and the spark called the senses, and the spark called the body, and the spark called this world. Everything is nothing but a spark that is coming from the self inside, from the self side. You will see this. Mandukya Upanishad gives you a very long statement about this. Yada sudeeptad pavagad bispulingad, goes like that. A long list there. How from a fire called Atma inside, everything else has come. The world has come, the body has come, the mind has come, the senses have come, and also ahankaram has come from that. Ahankaram has come from that. Upanishad says that. So, just like this fire, these different sparks are coming again and again. In the Bhagavad Gita, calls this Akshara Purusha. Akshara Purusha is called Akshara Purusha. From Akshara Purusha is called, this is another title for that. Akshara Purusha comes this mind, ego,
jagrat swapnam sushupti, they are also coming from there, this world, manifested world, and also it is from that aksharabhusha, all your logic you are developing, different kinds of logic you put forward, yukti and kalpana and arguments, everything, you feel like that. Why do we have all these things? Why do they come like this? Gautama Acharya mentions this, devaisesha svabhavoyam, means that that is the nature of Atma. From there so many things will come. Like this. It is his nature. That why does he create all these different things in this way? Because different people are having different thoughts coming to him. That means different subtle body. Okay, ahankaram is also different in different people. And mind is also different people. Body is also different. Everybody's body is also different. Form is different. And thoughts that's coming into the mind is also different for different people. But these are all sparks that's coming from the self, from the self. So, and some person is thinking in terms of Advaitam. Somebody else is thinking in terms of Dvaitam. Somebody else is thinking in terms of Vishishtadvaitam. All these different ways of thoughts. Why it's coming like that? And some people say there's only one, some people say there is two, or some people say there is three. Everybody says different ways. And in the Bhagavatam earlier, Krishna mentioned that there is 96 different tattvam has come from this one tattvam. And then each one of those people writes a book according to his realization. And then they argue each other. Is it not? Otherwise this book industry won't go on like this, isn't it? Every time you will see that if you don't write a book and publish it, you feel your life is not complete. So, people are so convinced about that. And then they will say that Prabhupada told us you should write a book. Everybody should write. So I'm writing. So I've been authorized now to write. So I'm writing. Whether you like it or not, that's another thing. But I'm writing anyway. I have to write and publish it to the world for the benefit of this world. I have to write. But what Krishna is saying here, all your writing, what meaning has it got? What is there to write about? If you know the tattvam, then there is nothing to write after that. When you don't know the tattvam, whatever that is coming into your head, you keep on writing, printing it, publishing it, distributing it, and telling everybody that this is the truth. That's all it means, nothing more than that. So, but people do not think into that level. They're always thinking, as long as it's written and printed, and if it's printed nicely in a good publisher, 10,000 copies, and a lot of photos inside, people will buy the book. You can sell anything in this world. And somebody has printed, written books. This is Hinduism, they're saying. And they printed a book about that. They know what the Hinduism is. Nobody else knows. So, that's how they're printing it. So, like this, and this is the conclusion of the Vedam, they say like that. So, like this, you can write as many books as you want about Krishna consciousness. Krishna's point is, truth is one. There is nothing much to write about that. If you have realized that truth, then you don't need a book also. But even if you have the book, you are not going to get the truth. By reading the book, you won't get the truth. By realizing the truth only, you will have the truth. Is it not? So that is the Krishna's, that is Gaudapada Acharya saying there, this is the fun that Deva is doing inside. He enjoys this. Making people feeling different ways, different thoughts and different realizations, and making them to write a book, and making them to argue based on that book. They will write one book. And they will say that, this is what Prabhupada said. Somebody says, no, that's not what Prabhupada said. I heard this somewhere else, something else. And then he will write another book. So book after book after book is coming. And fools are buying after buying after buying all these books. Storing it, one after the other. One book says one thing exactly opposite the other book says. What do you do? Krishna doesn't enjoy all these things. This is our ego is playing this game. Everybody is writing books now, is it not? It's quite common thing now to write a book and publish it. Because I've got something to offer to this world. You have nothing to offer to this world. Nobody has anything to offer to this world. What Krishna is saying here is this, that parasvabhava karmani na prashamsayana garhayat vishwam ekalmagam pashyan. There is only one thing here, Alma and Alma alone, nothing else. And this realization comes, then you won't write any book. Once that realization has come. That's why great rishis, they didn't write any books. They didn't write any books. They kept quiet after realizing the truth. But so long as you're not that, when in the platform of this apparent reality and vyavaharika reality, you will keep writing books. That's what he's saying here. That is what Gaudapadacharya is saying here. Devai anyasha subhavoyam. That is the subhavam of this deva inside. He seems to enjoy doing this. And devai anyasha subhavoyam. Aptakamasya gaspraham. For him, he doesn't have any desire. But at the same time, is there any harm? What is the harm because of this? It is like this. Remember, in the Chadishlogi Bhagavadam, what did Krishna say? Aham evasam evagre. Nanyajit sansat param. Paschad aham yade dacha. Yova shishyata sosmeham. Krishna is saying to us that tattvam is like this. There was only me in the beginning. There was only me in the beginning. At the end also, there is only me. Aham evasam eva agre nanyat anyat sarsat param. And past is also me. Present is me. Future is also me. Krishna says. Then, if it is only you in the beginning, in the middle and in the end, you are feeling so many things in the middle of that. Krishna says, that's also me. That's also me. And that Krishna is going to say that later. That Krishna is going to talk about that later. You see, the philosophically if you understand it, what Krishna said in the Chadishlogi Bhagavatam, aham evasam evagre. That's why Chadishlogi Bhagavatam is a very condensed form of the truth. This is what Krishna has spoken here. In a very four verses, Krishna has spoken there in the Chadishlogi. If you look into the second canto, in the ninth chapter, four verses, those to be verses to be studied seriously, because only then you will see the connection with what Krishna is saying here and what Krishna is saying in this 11th canto. You can see the connection. Aham evasam eva agre nanyadyat sadasat param paschad aham yadedacha yova shishyada sosmyaham hridayartham yat pratiyeda na pratiyeda chalmani tad vidya almano mayam yadhabhaso yadhatama yadha mahandi bhutani bhudeshu uchamacheshvanu pravishtanya pravishtani tatha teshu na teshvaham edavadeva jitnyasyam tattu jitnyasana almana Anvaya Vidyagabhyam Yatsya Sarvatra Sarvada. So, those verses, if you read through that, you will see what Krishna has got to say. Krishna is saying that it's only me, there is nothing else here, it's only me. And so, it was at that time when Krishna said all these things, Uddhava asked the question, who has the material existence? That was Uddhava's question, isn't it? And that's not a reality either. Material existence is not a reality. Krishna says to Uddhava, that is true. When Krishna answered this, Uddhava says, the material existence is not real, is it? Krishna says, no, it's not real. Uddhava, it's not real. But, after saying that, Krishna says, look at the word, verse, Sri Bhagavan Vacham, verse 12. Yaval Dehendriya pranair almana sannigarshanam samsara phalavam stavad avartopya avivegina. Yavad dehendriya pranai almana sannigarshanam samsara phalavam stavad avartopya avivegina.
Uddhava, he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, when there is this gross material body, when there is these senses, when there is this life air, pranam, inside, along with all these things, when you have an identification with them, when you have a, so long as you have an identification with the body, with the mind, with the senses and with the prana and everything, and so long as you have an identification, due to this identification you have connection with other objects in this world, other persons in this world, you can more or less say you have material existence. You have material existence. So material existence will be there as long as we have an identification with the body, identification with the mind, identification with the senses, everything. And as long as this identification is there, material existence will be there, and that material existence will be felt, it will be experienced. And even though that is a result of that, Krishna is saying here, suppose theoretically you have understood all these things, what Krishna has spoken before, that is called tattva jnanam. So tattva jnanam or tattva nishayam, or you have analyzed it very well and you have come to conclusion very strongly within you, but even then this body will keep frightening you. Body won't go easily like that. In spite of your best realizations, you have studied Bhagavatam very well, Upanishads well, Bhagavad Gita well, and you understood what Krishna is saying, and you have analyzed it, scrutinized it very well, and concluded yourself, yes, what Krishna has spoken is making sense to me, everything you accepted. In spite of all that, the body will give you trouble. Body will still come and give you trouble. In the sense that it will keep frightening you. It will keep frightening you. Because that is its job. It has to do its job. The only job this body has got to do with us is that whole life, it has to keep you on your... just to keep you in that state, right? That's what it does, isn't it? As long as you can see that, whenever you have any little bit of uneasiness in the body, immediately all your attention goes into the body straight away. Then there is no alma, there is nothing else, only body exists. When the body gives trouble, is it not? When you're comfortably sitting, you can discuss alma. But when any problem comes, any problem, doesn't matter, not even necessarily the body, something else happens with the situation in this world, then there is no discussion about Alma. Then you say, oh, you can say all that theory for us then. It's not. Oh, you don't tell me all that philosophy, you will say. That's why this understanding, if it is not translated into real life, all this knowledge is also not of much benefit, isn't it? It's only meant for taking us out of this avidya from inside. So you can see here, sometimes people will say, like they say that we don't believe in God, and when nobody is there, they'll go into the temple. You will see that also, because inside there is fear. When there is some problem inside, they will run to the temple, or they will go to an astrologer, or they will go to somebody who has something to offer like that, some solution. And they will be very, people say, I'm a scientist, some people say. I'm very proud of saying that. I'm a scientist, they say. I've seen so many so-called scientists, when they are in trouble, they're going to the temple. The scientist is running to the temple when the body is giving serious trouble. So where is the scientist? So it's all, you can talk all these things, right? But this Chidabhasana Ahankaram inside, when he gets into trouble, he looks for a shelter. That is its very nature. So, because when problem comes, you are losing the peace inside, the peace of peace inside. At that time, you have to look for a solution straight away. That's why when you do all those things, isn't it? So even though theoretically you understand there is no material existence, still you will look for some solution to the problem. Krishna is very outright saying to us, there is no such thing called material existence. There is no such thing called this fear. There is no such thing called apparent reality, everything. But in spite of reading all these verses in the Bhagavatam, when you have a problem, you will still go looking for a solution elsewhere. So, just like you can see in the night, when you can't see anything, it's totally pitch dark. At that time, you're walking in the somewhere, and suppose suddenly you heard some sound from somewhere nearby, right? You get a fear inside. You get a fear inside. So, just like in the darkness, you're walking into a house, and you got inside the house, but then you saw, heard some sound, the gate opens or something. When you closely managed to look at it, it was a cat. It was a cat. But before the cat came, you got frightened. Somebody else is coming, following you. Isn't it? So, those who are fully established in the truth, for that person, these problems don't exist. These problems don't exist. So, there was a poet who wrote about this. He said like this, he said that he was writing some poetry in the night. Those days there was no electricity. Oil lamps they were using and sitting and writing that. Somebody knocked at the door. When he looked, it was not bright enough. It was dark as well. It was only a light, just enough to write. So when he looked inside, outside, he saw there was somebody standing outside. And so he came inside and the poet asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "Don't you get frightened seeing me?" He said, "Don't you know who I am?" He said. So he said, "Why should I get frightened?" The poet said. He says, "I am a ghost." He says to him. "Oh," he said, "that's okay." He said, "I thought you have come to for some fundraising." "That's what I'm frightened," he said. "I thought you come for some fundraising." "So that's okay," he said. "If you're a ghost, it's all right," he said. So he said that, so it's like this, that people are frightened about all these things, isn't it? So, so he said, says to the ghost that, the ghost says to the poet, the ghost says that I used to think that if I am a ghost, at least people will be frightened of me. Now even that is not happening, he says there. So, so suppose this has happened for ordinary people, at that moment he will die seeing the ghost itself, isn't it? And the ghost says, "We can't even do that because I am a ghost." Human being, he will get frightened of the ghost and he will die. What will the ghost do? He can't even die, he says. This is the problem with the ghost. So, we will see things which are not real and we can get frightened, all of that. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that samsaraha, that, you see that verse? Yavad dehendriya pranai. Almana sannigarshanam samsaram. Samsaram is there. Bhalavam stavad apartopya viveginam. Samsara bhalavam. Bhagavan Krishna is saying here, that as long as this deham, indriyam, pranam, and it has its identification as self, sannigarshanam, then samsaram will be there. You will not be able to free yourself. So long as you have identification with this body, mind, and pranan, senses, all these things, if so long as your identification, this material existence will be there, with the result that fear has to be there. And this fear is the game of Maya, Mahamaya's game. And she enjoys this, putting us and playing this game with us. She enjoys that. Because in order for this game to continue, a certain amount of ignorance is necessary. Suppose you are fully conscious and fully knowledgeable, realized everything, then this game won't happen, is it not? So therefore, Maya, she keeps a certain degree of ignorance in us permanently. If the ignorance is completely gone, then you can't play this game anymore. So she keeps that inside and she plays this game of material existence. And when you lose that, then the game is not interesting anymore. This life is not interesting anymore. Maya's, how she has controlling us and plays with us all the time, it's something you have to sit and think about it, isn't it? People work very hard to achieve something in this world, and then you feel, declare to the world that I have done all these things. Actually, Maya has done everything. Maya, remember what Krishna said? Ahangara vimodhalma kartaham idhi manyate. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahangara vimudhalma kartaham idhi manyate. Only prakriti and ahangaram together is doing everything. Prakriti kriyamanani. Prakriti is doing everything. That means one's swabhavam or vasana is doing everything. Gunai karmani sarvasha. And prakriti is three modes of material nature. Sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam. According to the modes of nature, according to the vasana inside, a person is acting in this world. And what happens then? Ahangara vimudhalma. His ahangaram is saying that I am doing everything. Ahangara vimudhalma. Kartaham idhi manyate. I am the doer. He establishes himself. He says, so Maya in conjunction with the vasanas inside us conduct this business all the time, and so this game has to go on. It can't be stopped. And her point is, Maya's point is that let them play for some time. And just because if I say to you that it doesn't exist, it's not real, because of that the material existence is not going to go. It is still there. Miseries are still there. Samsara material existence is still there. Because as long as you have vasana inside, as long as that swabhavam is inside, this game has to go on. That's what Krishna is saying here in the next verse. Artehya vidyamani bhi samsradirna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya swapne anarthagamo yatha. Again. Artehya vidyamani bhi samsradirna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya swapne anarthagamo yatha. That is Krishna's point. That same example. He's saying here that even though it is not real, the dream state is not real, so many miseries are happening in the dream state, right? The elephant has come to attack you, or you got a car crash, or you fell from a rooftop, or whatever. So many miseries you have felt in the dream state. And because you experience that in the dream state, sometimes it can have an effect in the wakened state. When you wake up, because you had a bad dream, that's enough to frighten you, the bad dream, in the dream state, what you have experienced, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying here, Artehi avidyamani bhi samsradirna nivartate. Even though it has happened in the dream state, it doesn't mean that the misery is gone. You had the misery in the dream state, but then when you woke up, sometimes that misery don't leave you straight away. And you can see sometimes, suppose two people were sleeping in the 10th floor of the building or something like that. Two people are sleeping in the same room, in different bed. One person has seen some heavy dreams and he was crying and crying and he was crying, he couldn't stop because he was so frightened in the dream. So, now he is not aware of what is going on. He is suffering from that dream. That's all it's happening. But the other person sleeping in the other bed, he is thinking, what's going on now? This person is making so much noise, isn't it? So, he knows very well that person is crying because some bad dreams is happened to him. Therefore, And he is shouting like anything. Now, if you sit in your bed and tell him, don't cry, it's not real, it's all a dream. But that person can't hear, he is in the middle of the dream. So what do you have to do? Go there, wake him up from that dream. And make him aware that bringing him into awakened state and take him out of the dream state. But just sitting at your bed and saying that it's all a dream, saying that it is not going to go, problem is still there, that person is going to suffer, isn't it? That is what Krishna is saying there. Swapne anarthagamo yatha. Like in the dream state you have experienced that misery. Just because that it's not real, saying that it's not going to solve the problem, or saying that it is a dream, that's not going to solve the problem. But that swapnam state or the dream state is like this samsara, material existence. Just the Krishna is giving a comparison there. Like in the dream state you experience that misery. In the similar way, so long as you have identification with the body, mind, senses, everything, if the identification is there, material existence is there, samsaram is there. Samsaram is there. So even though material existence, even though it's not real, when you are experiencing it, it is real, like in the dream. You see, Krishna is comparing the dream state and the awakened state. In the awakened state, because you are identifying with the body, mind, senses and world in every way, therefore, even though the real self inside is not touched by any of these things, but because the identification is there with the body, you have to experience the misery of that. Exactly like in the dream state, when you are in the dream state, the problems of the dream state is real. At that point it is real, isn't it? Similarly, so that is why it is a problem for him in that state. That means even though material existence is not real, but when you are experiencing it, it is real. And it is a fact also. That means whenever you are experiencing the material miseries in the vyavahariga talam, that means in the vyavaharam level and in the pratibhasiya level, apparent reality and the vyavaharam reality, or vyavaharigam, vyavaharam also, it is still a problem. It is equally a problem. It's equally a problem. And you can see this in people's life. If you observe carefully, you will see these things. These problems, how it operates in vyavahara level and in the pratibhasigam level also. Say for example, somebody has a mental problem. And they will see things which are not there. They will think in their mind something, and they will build up some impressions inside. There is no point in saying anything about it, but problem is that that person is suffering. That person is suffering because he builds up inside some ideas. And no matter whatever you tell them, they won't understand that. They understand that. So if you tell them, look, you're just thinking like that, it's not real. You're thinking like this about somebody in that way. That's all it is. But they won't understand. For example, this is mentally a problem, it is to many people. It happens all the time that one person said that I'm frightened about the snake. I feel as though the snake is in the room, he said. There's a snake in the room, he said. He went to many, many doctors. Doctor says to him, it's only you're just thinking like that. There is no snake anywhere. Why are you frightened about the snake? He says to him, to the doctor, then you can say all that, but the snake is there. He said, how will the snake go if you just say it is not there? How is it going to go? So he is seeing the snake. So finally, one doctor found out a solution to the problem. What did he do? He said, I'll give you a good box, he said. Take this box with you. Take it home. And when you really see the snake, open this box. Otherwise, till then you should not open, he said. So this man says to him, what is inside? He said, there's a mongoose inside. You know, the mongoose and the snake, they fight each other. Mongoose don't like snakes. Snakes don't like mongoose. Snakes are frightened about the mongoose. Mongoose don't get affected by the poison from the snake. So normally when there is a mongoose running around, you can take it, there's no snakes there in that area. So he says to him that there is a mongoose inside this, so don't open it. As soon as the snake gets very close to you, only at that time you open, so that the mongoose can catch the snake. If you see it in the room somewhere else, don't bother. But when it comes to you closer, open the box, he said. So another person has brought this patient to the doctor. So he says to the patient, the person who brought this patient says to the doctor, this is only, he's thinking like this all the time, isn't it? That about this snake, it's not a real thing, it's something in his head. He's got this idea in his head, there is a snake. And he is struggling because of that. So why did you give him this mongoose for that? What purpose? Doctor says to him, there is no mongoose inside. He said, it's also a sort of thoughts inside in his head that there is a mongoose in there. So therefore the snake won't come closer. That's all it is required. So I've only told him like this. So even though it is not real, it's causing problem. So the doctor's solution to the problem is that you give something which is also not real, but as long as if you are able to convince the patient that he is there to protect you, then he feels protected from the snake. And that is the next verse. Look at the verse. Yada ahya pradibuddhasya praswaboba khanartabrand sa eva pradibuddhasya navai mohaya kalpade. This is what the verse is saying. This example. Yadahi pradibuddhasya praswabo bhakvanarthabral sa eva pradibuddhasya navai mohaya kalpade. Navai mohaya kalpade. This is all the illusion, how it works inside us, isn't it? So, the person who has not got up, for him, one who has not got up, for him, the dream is causing problem. The dream is causing. Once he has woken up, then it is not causing any problem. Is it not? It's not causing any problem. So, similarly, when you are talking about this absolute reality, which is Advaita Jnana, what Krishna has spoken, absolute reality, when he has spoken about that, one person asked this, then, so there was once one incident that somebody asked this question to Maharshi. Was saying to them, inquire about the truth and find out who you are, and then when ahankaram disappears and you realize this absolute statement, then you won't feel anymore the effect of this world, material existence, in the way you are experiencing now. Because like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that jnanina tattva darshina, isn't it? For a tattva darshi, one who has realized the truth, for him the truth what we talk about is not truth, is it not? How does that begin, that verse? Tadvidhi pranibhadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnanina tattva darshina. Tattva darshi, a jnani who is a tattva darshi, who has realized it, for him the knowledge is his wealth, that is his identity. He is not identifying with the temporary truth of this world, what we call as the truth. So this person asked Maharshi this question. People will come to Maharshi asking their problems at home, problems in the family, problems in the relationships, problems with various kinds of problems, health, things like that. They'll come and complain to Maharshi about this. So somebody who was sitting there says to Maharshi like that, when they come to you with all the problems of this world, instead of telling them to chant the holy name
why you are telling them to inquire about the self in this way? Maharshi said, this is all what I know. He said, I don't know anything else. This was his answer. And then he said like this. He said, let me explain this to you. He said, two people are sleeping in the same room. And one person in his sleep, he noticed that a thief has come in the dream. He's dreaming this. And he has broken the almirah or the cupboard or whatever it is, almirah, and broke it up. And he has stolen everything from the cabinet. He has taken everything from the cabinet. And he is seeing this. All his wealth has been stolen from the cabinet and he is crying. So Maharshi says to him, what will you do when some person like this, he is crying in his dream, because he had a dream like this. Somebody has come, got into the house, broke open the almirah, and he's stealing everything. And in the sleep, you can't do anything. So he's crying. So Maharshi says to him, what will you do if these things happens? What will you do? He said to him. He said, will you be running, chasing that thief? Or or will you be calling the police? What will you be doing when this happens? He said, neither. I will wake up that person, he said. That's how it is. Similarly, all other things what we do in the name of sadhana and all that is like this. That's why they're saying, Jnana Margam is a direct approach. That you have a problem. Problem is this, that you are identifying with the body. The best thing is that you have been taken out from that identification. Problem is solved. Ends the matter. Chapter is closed there. But because we don't do that, what we will tell people, oh, chant 16 rounds or 24 rounds every day, go to the every day this Mangalarati, and go for all other things. We'll say a lot of things like this. In a roundabout way, we are bringing him to the same thing. Because they can't accept that direct instruction like that. It is difficult for them to give up the identification easily like that. Therefore, sadhana is necessary. If you can accept the truth, that is what I'm saying. In spiritual life, it is acceptance more important than anything else. If you can accept it, then you are got out of the problem. But because we can't accept it, therefore, this roundabout way of doing things, everything, bhakti process, all kinds of sadhana they will tell you to do, and then they will tell you, follow through all the Ekadashis, follow through all the Janmashtamis, follow through all kinds of things. You can prove for the rest of the life, you do all this, you will be okay. They'll say like this. So, basically it's coming from this, that Jnana Margam is a direct process. Problem is this, that you have identification with the body, mind, ego, with all these things, right? And as long as you have the identification, the problem is there, Krishna says. If you are able to wake up from that identification, then the problem is gone, finished. You are free to go. Nothing will bother you after that. You won't feel the miseries of material life. But as long as you are not able to do that, that is the problem. That is what Krishna is saying, that that moham identification is so strong inside us that is it's only through this example you can understand. Suppose that person who is dreaming that the thief has got inside and is breaking up everything and he is crying lying there. He can't get up because he is in the dream state. He's not able to get up. At that time you are sitting sleeping in another bed. And you are saying, Maharshi asked him, what will you do at that time? Will you be going for the police? Will you be going for the chasing the thief to help him? You know that none of them will work. The only thing that will work is to wake him up from that state. That's the only solution to the problem. There's no other solution. Direct solution to the problem is wake him up from his dream
and the problem is gone. Similarly, what Krishna is saying here is, as long as this sleeping, the dream state called this identification state, when you are identifying with the body, with the mind, and you are in this ignorant avidya state, experiencing the miseries of this world, till you come out from that, there is no solution to the problem. But as long as you can't do that, we are unable to do that, because that requires tremendous effort and Krishna's grace more than anything else. It doesn't happen to everybody. Only whoever it has happened by practicing it for many, many lifetimes. It has come through them. Anybody starts today, fresh on this path, will find it very, very hard. It's going to take a lot of time and whatever you find in those jnanis who have realized this, it's all from the previous several lifetimes what they have practiced it. At the end of that practice, when they have come to this world, what you see in them is probably their last journey, last existence in this world. So, depending on individual, it can change. Therefore, this direct process is difficult also. For ordinary people like us, it is most difficult. That is why Krishna is giving us this Bhakti Yogam process in the Bhagavadam. That Bhakti is a much easier process to execute compared to Jnana Margam. So, but the direct process is Jnanam. Direct process is Jnanam. So, as soon as you wake up that person who was sleeping, then what happens? There is no thief, there is no police, there is no, nothing has happened, there is no theft, nothing has happened. Isn't it? That's what happens at that time. Similarly, that is what this praswabam, you see Krishna uses the word praswabha bhagavan arthabrat. Praswabha means this sleep. It's a kind of sleep what we are now. At the moment we are in a state of sleeping. Praswabham it is called. And this praswabham bhagavan anarthabrat, it creates a lot of anartham here because of this identification state, this praswabham. So so current now when you say your vacant state, from the Shastram point of view, you are still in a sleeping state. What kind of sleep? In ignorance. Ignorance itself is a sleep, right? Ignorance means you have no realization of the true self. That is a state of ignorance. That itself is a sleep state. So in this state, in ignorance, when you are you can say that praswabho bahu anarthabrat, it is in this ignorant state all this misery is what you are experiencing in this world. So instead of treating for that ignorance, for each and every problem you are trying to solve the problem separately on its own, isn't it? How will the problem go? That is why in material life you can see, when we are in this state today, every day we are in anxiety. What's going to happen tomorrow? What will happen day after tomorrow? What will happen 3 months from now? Is the job still there? Or 6 months, job is still there? What will happen when I retire? Will I get the pension? What will happen to the pension? Because government is also keeping you on the toes all the time. Is it not? So, one thing or the other, one misery after the other, one anxiety after the other, one after the other, keep on, every single day, one thing or the other keeps coming. Is it not? That is what Krishna is referring to, those two things. Praswapo bahu anarthabrat. So many anartham can come from this praswap. Praswap means this state of sleep in ignorance. Eyes are open, that's okay. That doesn't mean that you are woken up. Eyes open doesn't mean that you are woken up. Woken up, that means you are sleeping in ignorance. Ignorance is the state at the moment, and in that state, every single problem you are trying to solve, that is not the solution. That's what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying here that yadahya pratibuddhasya praswarpo bhagavan arthabar sa eva pratibuddhasya swapne navai mohaya kalpade. Navai mohaya kalpade. So all our solutions, what we have now, is like a treatment for this ignorance. For the ignorance. So what we are doing now is, already the problem is there. And individual problems we are dealing with, every single problem, what comes to us. Problem with the body, problem with the mind, problem with the other, different problems. Everybody has got problems, isn't it? So what we are doing on a daily basis is, what? We are dealing with the individual problem on a daily level. And this we will do till we leave from this world. This is all what we will do here. So, but the basic problem till you don't solve that, the basic problem is ajnanam. What's what Krishna is saying here? That the basic problem till you solve that, he will fall into this situation. What he is saying there? Navai mohaya kalpade. That in that moham, in that illusion, he is saying, I got this problem, I got that problem, I'm complaining about so many people, I'm saying this, this is not right, that's not right. So many things I'm finding. Full of problems, he is saying. Like 9 o'clock when you walk into the office, you are thinking about the whole day's problem on your head. Is it not? Same thing. It's not much different. All what I have to do here, when I go to the office, I'll have all kind of problems. And then in the evening when you are coming home, oh, what the wife is going to say now, what are your problems there? So, whole day you are solving the office problems, in the whole night and day, you are in the evening you are solving the wife's problems. So, you are always solving problems in life. What Krishna is saying to us, this problem solving will never come to an end till you solve the real problem, the basic problem. Basic, that's what that verse is. Yadahya pratibuddhasya prasvabo bahu anarthabhrit. Sa eva pratibuddhasya navai mohaya kalpate. Navai mohaya kalpate. So, in that moham, in that illusion, brahmam, you are saying so many things. Krishna says, you can't take all this seriously, can you? Can you take our problems? Prime Minister is saying one thing. Other Minister is saying something else. Remain camp, exit camp. Everybody is saying so many. And their problems, is their problems going to come to an end any day? It will never come to an end. If that, this problem is gone, another problem is in waiting. Where is this going to end? So, what we forget about all these things is that Krishna's point is that till you solve the basic problem inside, that alone, that is ajnanam, avidya inside, till that is solved, this problem will continue. And what we are doing is, we are trying to find a solution to the problem in the outside world. So, one problem goes, another problem will come here. But, moola avidya, that moolam, the root of all this problem is ignorance. Ajnanam, and unless that ajnanam is taken out, savai mohaya kalpade, Krishna says, that just like one who has woken up from the sleep, then he is not affected anymore by that dream. In the same way, this illusion or moham will not come to him anymore, one who has woken up from that sleep. That is why, in the beautiful verse, next verse, shokam, harsham, bhayam, krotham, lobham, moha, sprahadaya, ahangarasya drishyande, janma, mrityushchana, almana. Who can be more straightforward than this? Who else can be more straightforward than this? When Krishna says something, shoga, harsha, bhaya, krotham, lobham, moha, sprahadaya, ahangarasya drishyande, janma, mrityushchana, almana. We'll discuss it after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamahada vagni nirvapanam shreyakaida vachandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purna amrada swadhanam sarvatma sobanam param vijayde shri krishna sankirtanam nam namagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpida nimida smaranena kala Edadrishitava kripa bhagavan mamavi durdaiva vidrishamiha jani nanuragaham tranara vishuni jena tarayora visahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari madhanam na janam na sundarim kavidamva jagadisha kamai mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadad bhaktirahaydu gitvai ai nandadanu jagingaram padidama mushame bhavambudo krupaya tava pada pangajastita duli sadrisham vichindaya nayanam galada shudhareya vadanam gadgadiruddhaya gira pulakairnichidam gadavavu tava nama grahane bhavishyari
യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം ഫിനിഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാ ദുലം മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവ നാപരാ.
So, Uddhava asked a question, who has got the samsara, material existence? Krishna answered it in this way, that first of all, to know who has the samsara, material existence. Yavat dehendriya prani atmana sannigarshanam samsara bhalavam tavat apartopya aviveginam. That Krishna says, that person who is identifying with the yava deham indriyam pranam and who is identifying with them almana sannigarshanam samsaram balavam, he must have samsaram, there is no way you can come out of that. Tavat apartopya aviveginam, that part, they will have aviveginam, he is avivegi. Avivegi means he has no proper discrimination inside. Identifying question with the body means no discrimination, isn't it? If you are identifying with the body means that you have no discrimination. You are identifying with the false thing. Artehi avidyamanevi samsrutir na nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya sutne anarthagamo yadha. That like in the dream state you have experienced all the miseries, till you are woken up from the dream state the misery has not gone, it is still there. So similarly in this vacant state, even though you may think that you are woken up from, you are not woken up from ignorance yet, ignorance is still there. Till you are woken up from that ignorance, this miseries won't go. Which one? The misery that's coming from identification with the body. Artehi avidyamanevi samsrutirna nivartade, material existence won't go. Dhyayado vishayanasya sutne anarthagamo yatha. Then Krishna says, yadahya pratibuddhasya prasvabho bahu anarthabrad sa eva pratibuddhasya navai mohaya kalpade. That means in that sleep, ignorant state, you are shouting here, I got this problem, that problem, I'm crying about this, crying about that, all sorts of problems I'm experiencing here. Prasvava bhaka anarthabrat. All anartham is because of this avidya inside. Krishna says, unless that problem is solved, your problem is never going to be solved. You are solving individual problems on a daily basis, that is what's coming. What do they call as the firefighting, isn't it? There's only today's problem I'll deal with today, tomorrow's problem I'll deal with tomorrow. And like this till the end, the last minute, when you can't solve any problem, you're lying there, ready to take off from there. Prasvabhavaka and Arthabrat. Krishna is saying, what problem have you solved? You have not solved any problem. All you have solved is daily basis, this firefighting went on. That's all it happened. So Krishna concludes that and he says to us finally that Shogam Uddhava, he says, Uddhava, this thing is because of this one thing called ahangaram. Because where is samsaram experienced? In ahangaram. Ahangaram experiences everything. Atma doesn't experience anything. That's what he's saying there. Shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, spriha, all of them. Ahangarasya drishyande. You only see that with the ahangaram. What else? Janmam, mrityu. Even birth and death is for the ahangaram. Even birth and death is for the ahangaram. Janma mrityushana atmana. So, shoka harsha bhaya krodha lobha moha sprahadaya ahangarasya drishyande janma mrityushana atmana. In atma, pure consciousness, there is no such thing called birth or death. It is on this statement in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there. What does he say? Remember, when Bhagavad Gita, when you study also, you should keep this in mind. Na jayade, na mriyade. It's on this way. Atma doesn't take birth. Atma doesn't die. So, na jayade, na mriyade, va kadajal, nayam bhutva, bhaido, vanabhuyam. Ajaha, nityaha, ajo, nityam, shashadoyam, puranam, na hanyade, hanyamane, sharire. That verse is based on this. Atma never experienced birth or death.
Who is taking birth or death? Ahangaram. Ahangaram is taking birth or death. It is, and in the same chapter, in the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Jadasya Dhruva Murtyu Dhruvam Janma Mrdasya Tasmad Abarihayarthya Natum Shojadumakasi. That verse is for Ahangaram. The other verse is for the Atma. So, in the second chapter also, the same principle Krishna has followed. First he spoke about the truth, about Atma, and then he spoke about Ahangaram. When you are on the platform of the truth, on the Atma, none of these apply. When you come to the platform of Ahangaram, everything applies there. So that is the difference. You can look closely with Bhagavad Gita, and this is what Krishna is talking here, saying here. Very much similar way, the same process, pattern way, the pattern he has followed. First he spoke about Atma, which is absolute, which doesn't have birth or death, which doesn't have any of these things, totally independent, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupa. That's the nature of the Atma. Ahangaram got all the problems. Shokam, Harsha, Shoga, Shoga, Harsha, Bhaya, Krodha, Lobha, Moham, Spruha, Ahangarascha Drishyande, and Janma Mrityascha Na Atmana, Janma Mrityascha Na Atmana. Even birth and death is for Ahangaram, not for the soul, not for the soul. So, that's what Krishna is saying here. So, he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, so, everything is for Ahangaram. Shogam, Harsham, Bhayam, Krodham, Lobham, Moham, Spruha, and similarly, taking birth, death, all these things for Ahangaram Uddhava, not for the Atma. It is for Ahangaram Uddhava, not for the Atma. Therefore, if you can wipe out this Ahangaram from inside through knowledge, then there will be no shokam, no krodham, no harsham, no bhayam, no lobham, no moham, none of them will be there, and there will be no birth or death either. That will also come to an end. So, so who has all these problems? I've got all these problems, I'm saying. And who am I? This ahangaram. This ahangaram. So, and when you inquire about this ahangaram, where do you find him? You can't find him. He's gone. He's gone. So, because it is not a real thing, this ahangaram is not a real thing. Why you say it's not real? Because in the deep sleep it's not there. In the deep sleep it's not there. Therefore, when, unlike Atma, when you are in the light of knowledge, ahangaram disappears. Whereas Atma, in the light of knowledge, Atma comes in. You properly experience Atma. Atma you are experiencing all the time, in the vacant state, dream state, and in the deep sleep. But in the vacant state and dream state, you are not aware of Atma. But in the deep sleep, you are more aware of Atma. Your awareness, isn't it? So, but because this ahangaram is not a real thing, in the light of knowledge, it disappears. And so everything that ahangaram created, that also disappears along with that. Ahangaram created this world. Ahangaram created all the attachments in this world. Ahangaram created all our other identities in this world. So therefore, in the light of knowledge, when ahangaram disappears, everything disappears. Everything disappears. So, it has taken many, many lifetimes to strengthen this ahangaram like this, the way we have now. So, and then this ahangaram, because it has taken several lifetimes to build up, like the way it is now, to come to this stage, it has that smriti or ahangaram identification. It continues from different bodies. Before whatever bodies we have accepted in previous lifetimes, in all those bodies the ahangaram was there. And ahangaram became stronger and stronger due to the different karma what we have done in those bodies. Human life or in animal's life also. But all it was doing was, it was strengthening that ahangaram inside, and that follows us in the form of smriti or memory through different bodies. And when it came to this body, because it has become a habit with us, this identification has become a habit with us, and the only option is that, like the way it was built up and came to this stage, in the same way you have to destroy it little by little. It became so strong now because you developed that ahangaram nicely through our different bodies, through different bodies when we pass through. It got strengthened. And now in this particular body, it is very strong at the moment. So the only, if you want to destroy it, you have to start destroying it in the same way, like the way it was built up. Little by little, you have to shear it off, slice it off. So, and therefore, it requires a lot of tapas, austerity and knowledge. So, because every time you are trying to destroy that ahangaram, it's coming back again. It's not going away easily, isn't it? So, that what it shows that samskaram inside, what we have created in several lifetimes, is so powerful that it is impossible to destroy it in a short period of time. So, because it has become a habit, that's a problem. It's become a habit. So, Krishna is saying here that, in that verse, Shokam harshabhaya krodham lobhamohas prahadaya ahangarasya drishyande janma mrityaschanal mana. Very important verse. Who is getting angry? Ahangaram is getting angry. Who is feeling happy? Ahangaram is feeling happy. And who is lamenting? Ahangaram is lamenting. Shokam harshabhaya. Who is frightened? Ahangaram is frightened. And who is an illusion? Ahangaram is an illusion. Shoga harsha bhaya krodham lobha mohas prahadaya ahangarasya drishyande. And who is taking birth? Who is frightened of death? Ahangaram is frightened of death. Who is frightened of birth again? Ahangaram is frightened of birth. Ahangarasya drishyande janmam mrityu cha na almana. So Krishna says to Uddhava, all these problems are for ahangaram, or for ahangaram, not for atma, na atmana. You are atma and you are not ahangaram. You are atma and you are not ahangaram. So in deep sleep state, what you are experiencing at reality, that is what you are. Because in the deep sleep state, ahangaram disappears, isn't it? There is no ahangaram in the deep sleep. So therefore, what you are experiencing that in the deep sleep state, that's what you are. Krishna says to Uddhava. So, not the one what comes in the vacant state, in the dream state, and gives you all the trouble, and engages you in all kinds of vyavaharam, and then you are saying that I am suffering in this world. That's not you, he says. That's not you. So, and because the sarubam of your actual swarupam is not ahangaram. You don't have any ego in the self. Pure consciousness doesn't have any ego, pride, none of those things, isn't it? This ahangaram, everything is a pratibhasam. Pratibhasam means a kind of a reflection it is. That's why it's called pratibhasiyam. Or you can say abhasam. Abhasam means it's not real, but you feel it as though it exists, right? Just like you mentioned about the snake and the mongoose. That you feel it is there, the snake is there. You have concluded that yourself in the same way. So without recognizing this, that this ahangaram is separate from me, without, that's called ahangaravritti. And without recognizing that this ahangaram is also a product coming from the atma, like mind. We say the mind. You see, we use different words. It doesn't mean anything. Vastu is the same. Some people call it a subtle body. Some people call it as jiva. Some people call it as mind. Some people call it as ahangaram. All this is one thing. But addressed in different ways at different times according to the purpose for which it's spoken. Right. So, if you recognize that the actual truth is only Atma, which is Adhishtanam, which is the Adhishtanam. And the other things, Ahangaram, mind, body, intelligence, if it's all just a thoughts in me, that is existing. And this thought, you have to analyze it very well and strengthen it, that I am not this body. I am actually that pure consciousness. Aham Brahmasmi. When you strengthen that realization, and you have to stay like that all the time. Firm it up and stay firmly in that state. And that is what
required. Krishna says, Uddhava says, how is that? How can you do that? So you see the answer.
Dehendriya pranamano bhimano jivondaralma gunakarma murti sutram mahanitiru deva gita samsara madhavadi kala tandraha.
Krishna is answering that. How do you stay away from ahankaram? Not allow the ahankaram to come up again.
Dehendriya pranamano bhimano jivo andaralma gunakarma murti sutram mahani tirudeva gita samsara madhavadi kalatantram.
Kalatantram. He says to Krishna, says to Uddhava, Uddhava, this thing called ahankaram, what it does is, it identifies with the mind, it identifies with the body, it identifies with the senses, and it identifies with the pranam, life. And with, when it is identifying with different things happen. When you are identifying with the body, when the ahankaram is identifying with the body, you are thinking you are this body, you think, oh, I am young or I am old, or you are looking at your own body and thinking, everything seems to be in order at the moment, and you feel certain kind of a relief from that. Body seems to be okay. Looked at all parts of the body, wherever you can see, and you say that body seems to be functioning, and all the bodily, what do they call it, the different faculties are working. Food is digesting nicely, and blood circulating well, breathing is going on, sleep is fine, and taste is there, all the senses are working, you're hearing properly. So constantly, unknowingly, without your knowledge, you're only looking at the body and checking everything is functioning okay. You don't have to do it, it happens automatically without you doing it yourself. As soon as there is some disturbance, you will know it straight away, that the body is having some problem, isn't it? So the interesting thing is, Krishna is saying here, that that you are, because it has become a habit like this, when ahankaram will go and identify with the body, it will feel certain effect of that, when it's identifying with the body. One certain kind of effect. When it is not busy with the body, it will go and identify it with the mind. You can see yourself, this, we are doing it every day, every moment. When you are identifying with the mind, what's happening? All the thoughts and all the problems that other thoughts are bringing in, you are busy with that. At that time, you are not thinking about the body. You are thinking about the... These two things won't happen simultaneously. Mostly, it is the mind. Most of the time, it's the mind. Just like you are sitting here now, you are thinking about the office. What all work is left out to be finished on Monday morning when you get back. And what all you have to, you have been told to be done, or what you have to, you got your targets set for certain projects, whatever you're doing, isn't it? All those things will be in a subtle level working inside. That will never go. Even if I wake you up in the middle of the night, you will say, yes, yes, all this has to be done, you will say. So it is, that's the way it is. That means, straight away, your ahankaram has gone into the mind and thinking all the problems that the mind is created or associated with. Mind associated with that. And similarly, it identifies with the body, the mind, and then, say you are having some nice prasadam. Sense gratification is happening. You are enjoying the prasadam, right? At that time you forget about the bodily problems, mental problems. With the senses it is identifying. It's identifying with the senses. Or you are listening to some nice music. You are so absorbed in the music that the problems of the body, problems of the mind, ahankaram is not identifying with the body or mind. Ahankaram is identifying the senses at that time. Oh, it's really nice, the music is very good. You'll say like that. So, or when you are seeing something nice, some movie or something like that. So you can see, ahankaram can go and identify with the body, it can identify with the mind, it can identify with the senses, and it can identify with the pranan also. How? When the pranan is, you're identifying with the pranan, that's when you swing into action. Because there's pranan tells you that you got the energy to do it.
Once that identification comes with the pranan, you immediately swing into action. Some kind of action will happen from that. So when you are identifying with the body, that is when you are thinking that I am fat, I am slim, or I am black, I am white, and I have got this kind of problems with my body. All this is when you are identifying with the body. Or this, that, so many things. I am varnam, ashramam, all these kinds of things. And many, many different ways this body will go and identify with them. This ahankaram will go and identify with that. And when you are identifying with the senses, right? When you are identifying with the senses, that's when at the old age particularly happens. You say, I can't see things properly. I can't hear anymore. Can you speak a little louder? I can't hear anymore. Why? At that time, ahankaram is identifying with the senses. And when you are identifying with the pranan, normal level, that is when you are experiencing hunger, thirst. These are all prana dharmam. Dharmam, activities of the pranan. So pranan's activity, pranan dharmam is hunger, thirst, things like that. And or sometimes you feel, I'm feeling very energetic to do something. This is prana dharmam. Or sometimes you feel, I'm very tired, I can't do anything. So this energetic nature, this feeling tiredness, and also hunger, thirst, these are all pranan. When ahankaram identifies with pranan, all these things you will experience. And that means ahankaram with pranan, ahankaram with the mind, ahankaram with senses, ahankaram with the body. It will wherever ahankaram goes and identifies, that is what at that particular moment you are experiencing. Particular moment, that's what you are experiencing. Wherever you are going and identifying with it. So, all these things, is Krishna calls it as guna karma murti. See that word used in that? Dehendriya pranamano bhimano jivandharalma guna karma murti. Guna karma murti. Guna karma murti means in gunam and karmam, he goes and identifies. He becomes the murti there. Gunam and karmam. He goes and identifies there. Ahankaram. His ahankaram. So he says, Deham, Indriyan, Pranan, Manasa, Abhimanam, Jiva, Andaralma, Gunakarma Murti. He says here. So just like we say Narasimha Murti, is another Murti inside. We say Narasimha Murti, isn't it? Narasimham is called Narasimha Murti. So in the similarly, we say that Jiva, Andaralma, Gunakarma Murti, this Murti inside, Ahankaram, he goes and identifies with all those things. So what kind of Murti is this? His murti is called Gunakarma Murti. Ahankaram is called Gunakarma Murti. That means that he can identify based on the Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam and the Karmam that comes from that. And this fellow inside, Ahankaram, is the cause of all these problems. He is the one. He is the one whom you have to look for. Look for. This Ahankaram inside. And Krishna is saying here, and he is like this, that he has got a very strange nature. What is that? He is like a sutram. Sutram means like a thread. This fellow inside. It's like a thread connected to all these things. Which one? Body, mind, and senses, and pranan. He is present in all. Like a thread, it goes through all these things, right? And that is why you feel a continuity in everything. You're feeling continuity, isn't it? You're not sure when it is shifting from one to another. From pranan, when it is shifting to the mind or to the body, you're not even aware of that. It all happens like this, is it not? But continuity is always, you feel a continuity in everything. So, and similarly, you also feel that, you see, when you go to bed and you go into deep sleep, everything is gone. Right? But this fellow is hiding somewhere. He comes back in the morning with the whole track record from yesterday. He comes and tells you, you have agreed all these things yesterday. What about them? You have not done anything today about it. So how does he comes back like this in the morning? Even if you had a, most of us don't get a deep sleep. Even if you get a good deep sleep. Because a lot of us, especially the old age, it is Jagrat Sapnam only. Sushupti doesn't come.
Jagrat Swapnam Jagrat again. The third state disappears.
After about 40-45, more or less it goes like this then.
And then to get some Sushupti, we will buy the best tablets available in the market to get a few minutes of Sushupti. But sometimes tablets also doesn't help, isn't it? Sleeping tablets and all that. It's all for Sushupti, not for anything else. But when it's not working, what do you do then? You just go through these states for now. So Krishna is saying here that this person who is, when you went to sleep, who kept all your thoughts and plans and experiences in hiding and brought back again in the morning back to you, that's him. That's called the Sutram. Sutram is that. Sutra means that thread, the keeping that continuity in life, right? Also Ahangaram does that. Suppose you had whatever you have done in at your work for the last week, and you know what you have to do, and you are sending it back, some messages in that into your head, right? You say memory and all that. It's all one and the same thing. You call it as memory, but memory is only a function. But the force that is keeping in the memory is Ahangaram. It's called Ahangaram. Krishna calls it as Ahangaram here because for Krishna there is no difference. All of them are different forces that's coming from the Chit Shakti inside. Chit Shakti, a force is coming out which functions as Ahangaram, which functions as mind, which functions as senses, which functions as pranam. These are all forces that's coming from the Chit Shakti. So that is why Krishna is saying here. So, and then you also feel, how are you today? The answer is, just like yesterday. There is no difference, is there? People ask this question, how are you today? Like yesterday. What's, is there no difference, is there? So, what is that you are asking? How are you today? When you ask that question, what do you mean by that? Of course, we have to answer in the world. That's what I'm saying. In Vyavaharam, you have to tell a lot of lies. You know it's a lie. The person who is asking is also a liar. The person who is answering is also a liar. Two liars are talking to each other. There is no meaning to it than anything else. Is it not? What my Ahangaram has done yesterday is coming and telling me do all these things today. And Ahangaram itself is a lie. It's a false thing. So that is why Krishna is saying here that because this fellow called Ahangaram is connecting all these things in this way, and this connecting link that is called Sutram, so this also called, another name given is Sutralma. Sutralma. Because of this, Sutralma is called. So that means, so you can see Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states, right? Then we have got childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, changes in life, body changing. First we have got Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. That's also continuously happening. Vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. That's constantly happening, right? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Then we have got childhood, boyhood, youthhood, and then middle age, old age, like that the body has changed, all these things. So when all these things are happening, behind this, there is one vastu which is not changing at all, which is Atma, which is the soul, isn't it? So, for example, when you say, when I was 2 years old, this happened to me, or 25 years back, I came here to Watford, I came here 25 years ago, and I may say like this, 10 years ago, somebody mentioned this to me, somewhere else, some topic, somebody mentioned this to me. So, who is giving all this continuity in life? How you are able to say these things? That is called Sutralma. That Sutralma is this, that who is able to connect everything together. Just like you say, I went to that school 20 years ago. I worked in this company for 10 years ago. For so many years I worked there. It's all staying inside. In somewhere. Is it not? Somewhere it is there. And you are able to connect all these things with your life in a sequence, in a form, particular pattern.
That and that is called, it's called Sutralma. Sutralma is the one who is doing that. So, and that he has given in Shastram, he has got a Sahasranamam. Like Vishnu has a Sahasranamam, the Sutralma has got a Sahasranamam also. That so that is why Krishna is saying that. Look at that. Samsaram adhavadi kalatandraha. The last line. Dehendriya pranamano bhimano jivondaralma gunakarma murti sutram mahani tirudeva gita samsaram adhavadi kalatandraha. Samsaram adhavadi kalatandra. It is this fellow, Sutralma, who, when this body dies, goes into another body. Who? This Sutralma. Goes into another body. He leaves this body and goes into another body. Sutralma goes. And it is Sutralma, what Krishna is saying. Once he leaves this body, he gets another body. Jadasya hidruvo mrityurdruvam janma mradasya ja tasmada parihariyarte na tvam shojitum arhasi. Second chapter. All those things. Right? So, why does this Sutralma don't finish with death? Why did he not die with the death? That question is there, isn't it? Simple logic. Because answer to that is, he didn't die when you lost your childhood, did he? He survived. Sutralma survived. When you were at youthful life, when your youth was gone, he didn't die. He survived still. Similarly, with the death also, he won't die. He will continue. That's the answer to that. If you ask the question, why Sutralma didn't die with the death? The answer to that is, he didn't die when your when your childhood has finished. Because your body has changed, has it not? When you were a small child, that body is not there anymore. That's gone. Then in your teenage life, you had another body. That body also gone. Now in your youth, you have one body. This body will also go. And then in your old age, you have another body, and that will also go. So even though body has changed so many times, the Sutralma didn't go. He stayed back. Similarly, when the death happens, when you lose this body, Sutralma still doesn't go. He still survives. That's the answer to that. So, that sutram, then, even though this body becomes useless, the body cannot function anymore, the same thing continues. Sutralma continues. So, then, that sutram is the one which is going on life after life after life. It is the sutram that is accepting the body. It is Sutralma that is accepting the body. So, Krishna is saying here, look at the word, adhavati. Adhavati means he is the one who is going to different bodies, looking for different bodies, and gets another body, which may be totally different than the body now, completely different body. But he will make the plan which body to go next. This Sutralma, he will make the plan which body to go next, and accordingly the powerful vasanas that will come up at the time of death. That is an indication of the decision of the Sutralma. When, while leaving this body, when the strong thoughts are coming about a particular thing, whatever that is coming at that moment, that is a very strong indication of the way Sutralma is working inside, on the subtle level. And Sutralma is making the decision which body to accept in the next life, in the next life. So, then the next body, and the body after that, and the body after that, and the body after that. It has to keep going like this. If he has to go to some other place, he will go there. Who? Sutralma will go there. Maybe if he has born here this life, if he has to go to America next life, he will go there. Sutralma is capable of doing all these things, and accept a body there. So, and in similarly, because Sutralma does everything out of Sangalpam, it doesn't have to physically do anything. Sutralma has got that capacity. Out of its own will, it can do things, get things done. Sangalpa. That means if it wants to go to heavenly planets, it will go there. Provided at the time of death, the desire to go to heavenly planets comes strongly inside. It will go there. And similarly, at the time of death, If the thoughts are coming strongly about the hellish planets, it means that Sutralma is planning to go there after death. After leaving the body, the next destination is Yamadharmaraja's planet. So, all these things, you can see how reality it is. We are not looking at the body in the way Shastram is seeing. We are thinking this body is finished, everything is finished. That's how most of the people think about it, isn't it? But the science of, as Krishna is saying here, samsaram adhavadi kalatantraha. Samsaram adhavadi kalatantram. That kalatantram, kalam, which is Krishna, that will dictate from inside, and accordingly Sutralatma has to act on the basis of kalam, on the instrument of kalam, and accordingly he has to go to the next body. There is no control, Uddhava, on all these things. Krishna is making it very clear to us that if you don't, either you accept what Krishna says and go with that totally, or you can follow the scientist, what they are saying, whatever they are saying. I don't know what they are saying, but whatever they say. So equally it can go to the heavenly planets if the decision is inside, strongly coming up. But that indication will come from the subtle body at the time of death. That strong desire of moving, transporting oneself into the heavenly planets or to the hellish planets. In a similar way, it can go to Vaikuntham or Kailasam. The journey can begin there. So, it is this Sutralatma who is going to Vaikuntham, Kailasam also. It is he who, we have some false concept about these things. We are thinking that, we're going to Vaikuntham, then you're alright, you're covered. As to like insurance policy or something. So it is not like that. He's saying here. So, because it is him that this party, he likes traveling. This fellow. Sutralatma, he likes traveling. That's his business. He enjoys traveling. And he is not like us, going to one or two places here and there. His travel is from planet to planet. One universe to another universe he can travel. He is that powerful he is. So he is a permanent traveler he is. He is a permanent traveler. And till he gets destroyed, this thing called Sutralatma gets destroyed, even if the body dies, there is not much of a benefit. Even if the body dies, there is not much. Because this fellow will create another body and give you trouble. So the same vasana inside, the same samskaram inside, or the same swabhavam inside, all these things are the part of the Sutralatma. They are all with him. And therefore, without experiencing that chit shakti inside, as long as you are carrying the chittam, chittam and chit, chit is the chit shakti, which is knowledge of the soul, awareness. And chittam is the one which carries the Sutralatma, all the vasana, subhavam, samskaram, everything. Krishna is saying here, samsaraha, what he says? Samsara madhavadi kala tantra. Samsara madhavadi kala tantra means that Krishna is saying here that whatever logic applies to this life in this body, the same logic applies to the next body also. Same logic applies to the next body. You are asking the question, is there a thing called a rebirth? People ask this question, isn't it? Because answer to that is, the simple logic is, you had a childhood, haven't you? And you had a youthhood, and you had a boyhood or a youthhood, and then now you have got the old age. Only thing is, the same logic continues after that. So therefore, and even though you had a boyhood, childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, everything, even at that time, the self is not in contact with the body. Is it not? Self is not in contact with the body. But body is some kind of a, it's like you can say that a gross thing. It's just moving around in this world. But Alma, real self, has no contact with that body. Isn't it? So, when Patanjali talks about that, it's very confusing, the way he has put it there. He's saying there, Patanjali says like this, he is not dying in one body. And he is not only in one body. He can sit in several bodies at the same time. And he also says that at the same time he can be present in two or three bodies. He can present in two or three bodies. It is a very complex thing. Patanjali explains those things in the Yoga Sutram, in his own studies about that. Patanjali is saying this much, if you understand, it is capable of going to any amount of bodies. It's capable of moving to, getting into any amount of bodies after leaving this body, another body, another body, another body. It keeps on going. And there is no law that only after leaving this body that you can get into another body. Because while you are present in this body itself, you can take birth in another body with this ahankaram. Yes. One question came up like this. That this was, Maharshi answered this question. It's a very good question also. He says to them that we have no concept of time, right? See, for example, one of the elderly members in the family died. Somebody died. Say, father, mother, somebody died. They were old. And after death, after 2 years or 3 years or so, can he take birth in another place after 2 years? How long will it take to take another birth? This was the question. The person who is asking, he is asking on the understanding based on the time of this world. The answer Maharshi gave was like this. He said, he may have taken birth already and he could be probably 75 years old. You know, to get out of this concept of time, like the way we are conditioned with the time, we are thinking that the nature of this sutralma, only when he leaves this body he can get into another body. Not necessarily. That's what he's saying. That he could have got into another body even earlier because of the strong vasana inside. He may go in, and sometimes in two or three bodies he can take birth, depending on the vasanas, right? Inside, or the svabhavam inside. So therefore, he's saying, don't try to understand him. You won't understand. Because it's so confusing that sutralma's nature is like that. He says that sometimes you may see that person is 75 years old, even though he died only 2 years ago. Why is it like that? Because that's the way he is. And why it is like that is, Maya will not allow you to understand her way of doing things. It's very difficult. Maya will not reveal to you. That is why, if everything was so systematic, like the way we think about it, we should have been by now able to find out what was our previous life, and what we got in that, what life we are going to get after death. After all this science and research, they still haven't. First of all, they are saying that best thing is never think about another life. There is no such thing called life. That's the way they are solving the problem. But Krishna is not saying like that. Krishna is saying to us that look at this sutralma if you understand, because sutralma is functioning under the guidance of Maya. Maya would not reveal to you any of her secrets to you easily. She will keep you confused like this. We are all confused in that sense, isn't it? We don't know who we are, do we? Somewhere we got a body and we start identifying with that body, everything, and we think that's what we are. And we live in that illusion for the rest of the life. And when the death happens and when we leave this world, what does it mean all? Can you give any explanation to anything in this world? Nobody can explain it, what it all means, isn't it? Brexit, Grexit, everything you are saying, what does it all mean? Who is exiting where? We are only exiting this body one day. That's the only exit we know. No other exit has meanings in anything. So the funny thing is that in the name of all these things, we have in our ignorance created all kinds of understanding about this world, and that is vyavaharam, that is the nature of the vyavaharam, isn't it? So Maya Purupade, Maya can create that experience that he can function in different bodies, in different places, and that is possible. Therefore the yogis, great yogis who knows this tattvam very well, they can operate at different places through different bodies at the same time. Yogis know that. This, because Maya has A certain knowledge of Maya they have in them, because they have, through their yogi power, they have developed that, the knowledge of Maya. So that is why in different bodies, at different ways, they can function. Different bodies, they can function different ways. So Patanjali says in the Yoga Sutra, Nirmanakayam. Nirmanakayam, how he creates that different body for him to work. Sutralma is the one who is going and creating the body. And that's, it is Sutralma's field that is this gross body. So he will create the body according to his desire and he will work through that. That power it has got. So, in the jnani, or one who has a realized person, in him, when this tattva-jnanam becomes very firmly established inside, or self-realization happens very firmly inside, he realizes this truth, that this sutra-atma's functions, different functions of the sutra-atma, he is able to see it properly. He is able to, in his realization, it will come. It is at that time, Krishna is saying there, in the next verse, Amulamedad bahuruba rubidam mano vaja prana sharira karma jnanasino basanaya shidena chitva munirgam vijaratya trishnaha. Amulamedad bahuruba rubidam mano vaja prana sharira karma jnanasino basanaya shidena chitva munirgam vijaratya trishnaha. That amulamedad bahuruba rubidam, he can take so many different forms. Bahuruba rubidam. Sutra-atma can take so many different forms. And he says, there, suppose when you see, suppose you see a shadow of a person. You see a shadow of a person. We say, oh, the shadow is there, we say. On a particular space we show and say, that's a shadow of the person. But is the shadow there? Shadow there? And has it got any form? As soon as the person moves, the shadow moves. So shadow is not there. So shadow is not dependent on the place where it is. Shadow is dependent on the person where it's coming from. So similarly, it has no form either. Shadow has no form. Depending on from where the light is coming, and the size of the light, and so many distance from the light, your size of the shadow will change. Is it not? Shadow doesn't have any definite dimensions or definite form. Everything will change according to the light that is being projected from the other side. So, just like the shadow is changing, it is the same way if you try to deal with ahankara or sutra-atma. If you try to deal with it, it is like that. You don't know where he is. You don't know what he looks like. You don't know how he is identifying with the different things. So, in order to trying to destroy this ahankaram itself is foolishness. Because you don't know where he is. Because, for example, it gives like this, that somebody doesn't want a shadow. So what he did was, he wanted to bury his shadow. So he dug a big grave-like thing, a pit. And when he dug the pit, the shadow went inside the pit. Shadow went inside the pit, you see. So, and then he covered it with the soil, the pit. He thought he has buried the shadow. At that time, shadow is lying on the top of the pit. Isn't it? So, just like you can't take it out. Similarly, this ahankaram also, that how can you take it away? How can you take it away? And that is why when we study about ahankaram, ahankaram is a big topic. Whole spiritual life is all about him, battling with him. Isn't it? Getting rid of him from inside. That is spiritual life. What else is spiritual life? So that is when it reminds us what Krishna said before. What did he say? Nasado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubayoravi drishtoandam stanayor tattva darshi bhi. Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter. Ajaya Swamiji's commentary begins with that verse. He gives so much importance to that. What he's saying there is that what actually exists, you can never say that it has no existence. It always has the existence. What really exists. But what doesn't have any existence, really don't have any existence. Asad, It has no sat. It doesn't have any existence. Even if you try to say it is existing, it has no existence. That verse is a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Na sato vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sadha ubhayoravi drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshivi. It's in the second chapter. 16. Yeah. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent there is no endurance, and of the eternal, that means the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. By studying the nature of both. So, that is the principle. It is on this principle whole Bhagavad Gita is constructed. This is the very underlying principle of Bhagavad Gita. Na sato vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayoravi drishtondas tvanayor tattvadarshibhi. Tattvadarshi, what tattvadarshi experiences, that's more important. Just like Krishna says, isn't it, that yaninas tattvadarshina, tattvadarshi. Tadvidhi pranibhadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnanina tattvadarshina. Krishna follows tattvadarshis. What tattvadarshi has to say, that is important. What another person says in this world is not important. Tattvadarshi, what tattvadarshi says, that is important. Jnanina tattvadarshina. Nasado vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada ubhayoravi drishtondam stanayor tattvadarshibhi. So, saying that, Krishna is saying here, for example, that what is not existing, from that verse we are going back to this, what Krishna is saying, amula medad bhagrupa rupidam jivo andaralma gunakarma murti. What is not existing, you don't have to destroy it. Only you have to know it doesn't exist. That's all. Similarly, because that's why that verse in the Bhagavad Gita is important. Krishna is saying, what really exists, you cannot make it non-existent. It will always exist. Na sado vidyade bhavo. Na bhavo vidyade sada. Now what is not existing, you don't have to destroy it. Why? Because Krishna is saying here, all you have to know that it is not existing. That's all you have to do. So to know that something is not existing, in reality is not existing, that establishment inside of the truth, then what is not existing will go away. You don't have to destroy it or anything. If you know it, it's not existing, that's enough. It'll go. Like the body. Body, you are thinking, at the moment you are thinking it is existing. What Krishna is saying is, if you get convinced yourself, through that is called tattvajnanam, that from Shastram is telling us, body is not there, it's not real. It's not, because it's come from the sutralma, it has come from there. And therefore it is not real. If you have experienced it, if you have accepted that, then you don't have to destroy the body. On its own it will disappear. The body will go. Another body won't come again. Another body won't come back. So, and if that conviction is very strong while living in this world, then that person is called Jivanmukta. While living in this world, if this realization comes in, the body is not real. If it gets completely established in that realization, he is called Jivanmukta. Remember Krishna said this, Dehastobi, na Dehasta. Dehastobi, he is in the body, but body is not in him. Dehastobi, na Dehasta, he is not in the body. He is in the body, but Dehastobi, na Dehasta. Deham is not there for him. So, and therefore he is saying here, Amulamedad bahuruparupidam. Amulamedad bahuruparupidam. Therefore, what it is,
It has not one form, many forms, he says. Amula medat bahurubarubidam, bahurubarubidam, many forms. So therefore, this problem with ahangaram is like this. If you try to get rid of this, it's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to solve the problem. Because in so many different ways he is identifying same time. Which one will you wipe out? Which one will you kill? Which ahangaram will you kill? It's identifying with the body in many ways. It's identifying with the mind in different ways. It's identifying with the senses in different ways. It's identifying with the prana in different ways. So you can't individually catch every one of them and kill them. That's not possible. That's not possible. So that's why Krishna is saying here, bahurupa rupidam amulam edat, that it is taking so many different forms, and if you try to kill any one of them, it is not going to come to an end. It will never finish, it will keep on growing. So therefore, that is called a tripudi. Tripudi means to make identification like this. So, different kinds of tripudi, Krishna is saying here. For example, in vacant state, you have one kind of ahangaram. And in the dream state, you have another kind of ahangaram. In the dream state, isn't it? So that is why Krishna is saying amulam. He doesn't have any root anywhere. He's appearing here, there, everywhere, in different ways, in different places. Sometimes he appears with the body in one way. Sometimes he appears with the body in a different way, in another place, in another way. Depending on where you are and what age you are, the ahangaram also changes. So he has got so many forms, this ahangaram, and in so many manifestations it comes out. Therefore he is called amulam. He has no... You can't catch him anywhere. He's always coming up in different dresses, isn't it? So when you try to find out the source where he is coming from, amulam, it has no root anywhere. You can't find even the source. Just like they give the example that in the darkness, you have seen the snake in the rope, in the darkness. If you look for the snake, where is the source? There is not even a trace of the snake in the rope. Rope is lying there. You are convinced there is a snake lying there. What you do? Rajasarpam. You are convinced there is a snake lying there. What the poor rope has done? It's lying there on its own. But you are convinced it's a snake that is lying there. And when you brought the light and looked at that rope with the torch, you are saying that there is not even a sign or a trace of anything to do with the snake in the rope. But therefore, even without any presence of the snake in the rope, you are experiencing the snake. And when you show the torch there, immediately the snake has gone. Snake has disappeared. So where was the snake? Where was the snake? Is the rope responsible for the snake? Or at any time did the rope change its form into the snake? That is what that verse is saying. Amulamedad bahurupa rupidam. All the illusions what we are thinking in this world about different objects is like this. We think that is what it is. Where does it say that's what it is? In Vyavaharam, so many identifications for the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. Amulamedad bahurupa rupidam. It has taken so many forms, this ahangaram, and it is making you convinced all the time that this is what it is. That is the power of this ahangaram. That is why he is saying in the next line, you see, mano, vajam, pranam, shariram, karmaha. Mano, vajam, prana, sharira, karmaha. And then what it does is, this ahangaram, what it does, it joins the mind, it joins the senses, it joins the pranam. With the help of all these things, with the help of the mind, senses and the pranam, it engages in various karmam in this world. Various karmam in this world. How can you destroy him, this fellow, ahangaram? How do you destroy him? And that is when Krishna is giving the answer. Jnana-sinopasanaya-shitena. Only through knowledge. There is no other way of destroying him except
has that knowledge. There is no other way. Jnanasin obasanaya shitena.
Isn't it? Jnana chitva munirgam vijaratya drishna.
The sword of knowledge. Asi. Jnanasi means the sword of knowledge. And that means through the process of jnanam. Through the process of knowledge, jnanamargam, and through upasana, you got to sharpen it. That sword. Sharpen the sword like a razor and get that into that ajnanam and then you are looking at that ajnanam with the sword of knowledge. You are looking into your ignorance inside. When he looked inside with the sword of knowledge, you saw him. Who? Ahankaram. And you have cut him with that sword. You cut him with that sword. In other words, what it's saying is that separated from Atma, there is no such thing called Jiva. Because when this realization comes, and when you are killing it with the sword, this is what you are doing. When the knowledge comes in, you realize that so far you are saying Jiva, 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 Jiva. Where is that Jiva? He doesn't exist. He doesn't exist. And that Jiva is nobody else than this Ahankaram. Ahankaram goes away. Why? Because this knowledge, the sword called the knowledge has come in. And when the sword went inside, and when he looked for cutting it off, he couldn't find the Ahankaram there. He couldn't find it. That's what Krishna is saying here. Jnanasi nobasanaya shitena chitva munirgam vijaratyatrishna. You will see the same statement from Jadabharata. Exactly the same thing. If you look into the fifth canto, he said this. What did he say? He said that that he says that if you, 11, I think the chapter 5, because it is all kalpana, it is. That means you have created this in your mind. Look that verse, 9th verse, 5:12:9. Avidyaya manasa kalpitaste yesham samohena kruto vishesha evam niruktam kshiti shabda vruttam asannidhanal paramanavo ye avidyaya manasa kalpitaste yesham samohena kruto vishesham. Krito vishesha. And when that chapter ends, the last verse, 16th verse, exactly the same thing what Krishna is saying here. Jadabharata is saying, tasmanaro asangasu sangajada angasu sangajadaha jnanasineheiva vivukna mohaha harim tadiha kathana shudabhyam labdhasmadaryatyadi paramadvanam jnanasineheiva. There is no other way. With the knowledge you have to cut through this ignorance of. That is the last stage when it happens with the body. So saying that, Krishna is saying there that when you start want to cut through that, it is then at that point that you realize there is no such thing called Jiva. There is no such thing called Jiva. That which is, and that is what the Upanishad's statement is, Jivo Brahmaiti Napara. There is no difference at that time between Jiva and Brahma. Jivo Brahmaiti Napara. There is no such thing called Jiva, there is only Brahmam here. There's only. So Jiva is a kalpana. It's a kalpana inside. And that means in Brahmam that it is a kalpana that is Jiva. Jiva is a kalpana there. It's a mental creation that is. It is not reality. But that will only realized when this sword of knowledge gets in. When the sword of knowledge gets in. That is what he is saying. Jnanasinobasanayashidena chitva munirgam vijaratya trishnaha. So at that time, what Krishna says there, that without any sangam, that is the most important thing. By then all the sangam goes away. No connection anywhere with anything in this world. And freely, when this stage has come, freely with the bliss of the self, that you can travel through this world totally independently. And Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, when you are able to go through this world in that way, totally in bliss, completely independent, without any thoughts coming in a totally realized state, and enjoying the bliss of the self, walk through this world. That is Krishna's advice to Uddhava at that moment. So, we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.